turn signal.
Intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling, 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 every day I'm hustling.
You know the saying, stay hungry, stay humble.
I'm
humble in defeat.
BoxingWiz.com.
What broke him down? Was it
somebody body punching? I was hitting with body punching. I heard him actually was crying in there.
I am the unified heavyweight champion of the world.
Let me just at least risk this.
Oh, shit! He fucking beat him! They gave it to him!
Damn, I could have made another $100!
BoxingWiz.com. You know, moving forward, I'm gonna just put together this team.
It's the money team.
I won $3,000 on the money line. I need to make some of this money. Use my code BETTVV on my bookie.ag. I can see this fight going the distance. I'm telling you. It's $560 off of $20.
This message was brought to you by SCF Promotions.
Good morning. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. I am your host, Nesta Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO, TikTok, and over there at Nesta Gibbs. Don't forget to follow us also on TikTok, where we're blowing up. I'm telling you, we're blowing up. Listen, Danny, what's going on? What's that? A sign? I need.
Nah, this is my lip butter, champ.
Oh, I thought he was giving me a sign that I need chapstick, this guy.
It's my lip butter.
Damn, bro, why are you so aggressive, bro?
Look, I rub it.
I didn't know. My man, y'all be careful.
Got to rub it into my lips.
I see, man. Damn.
You know what I'm saying? How you doing, bro? Good morning.
Buenos dias.
How you be?
I'm all right.
Feeling good?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to be a tight fucking day, bro.
It's Friday, for real.
So much to do today, you know
what
I mean?
Oh, you got a busy day ahead of yourself?
I got to go see another house, bro. I got to go see another house, man.
You just unbelievable.
Bro, you know I want a house over a condo.
I know, but my man, I was there. You said, all right, we done looking, and you keep looking.
And I put the deposit on it, too.
You did.
But in the meantime, until we close, George, ain't nothing wrong with motherfucking looking.
It's just looking.
I'm looking. Man. Just taking a peek.
A little peek.
You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing wrong with that. Then I got to go to Jardin today. You know what I'm saying? Buenos dias, Jardin. You wearing a shirt. I ain't wearing really nothing, but the dispensary's open, even though he done got it in the shot. Boom. So, yeah, you know, I got to go over there today, which is, you know, that's it's always a fun time.
It's always a great time for
it's
us.
It's a fun time.
Always.
And then, you know, I want to still slide in the gym. We made it to the gym yesterday, even during the double show day. So, Credit to us. You know what I'm saying? And, Dominique is here, and I gotta introduce her to Mike. So that's another thing. It's a lot of shit on the list, bruv.
Mm.
Ooh, jury summons. They want me to be a jury? A juror? Are they crazy? Do they not know
that you have only the largest boxing podcast in the world, and that you don't have time for their shenanigans?
I don't even live in Florida anymore, people. Stop sending me this bullshit.
Oh, you should be good at that, right?
I'm not going to get jury duty in Sarasota.
Yo, what happens, like, if you don't go?
I don't know. I've seen movies, like, back in the day when I was a kid, like, if you, like, duck out on jury duty, you get warrants and shit and fines, but I don't believe in that shit. I've been taking them letters and fucking just like in the trash can for years, bro. It's especially in Essex County, they were terrible with that.
So it says if they fail to show or give a good excuse for missing jury duty, the judge may order up to $1,000 fine and or up to 3 days in jail.
What you doing? You
catch me if I can't, if you can.
That's if you don't have a good excuse.
How much? How much? $1,000?
Yeah, $1,000.
You paying that?
You'll have a good excuse.
It depends where I'm at in my life. I might do that 3 days, man. Come home with a little swole, do some push-ups and shit. Play cards for a little bit. Beat a couple motherfuckers in chat.
Yo, Madeline pissing you off like, all right, babe, I'm going to go to the bank for the weekend. I'm going to go post
up at the
bank.
I'll be back on Monday.
I'll be back Monday, Madeline. You tripping. Yeah, man. No, I mean, George, it's crazy you say that because I did 72 hours and still paid over $1,000, you know, for my little fuck up back in the, you know, back then, so.
You didn't have a good excuse or you didn't have a chance to give a good excuse. I find that hilarious that it's just like you just have to have a good enough excuse and you're good.
Yeah, my excuse is fucking I don't live in your county anymore, so fuck off.
You don't live in that state, you know, in that time zone. Yeah, no, George, I didn't have a good excuse, bro. Look, I'm gonna tell you the funny thing. I'll tell you the funny thing. At first, the cops is going to me, right? Because they're like, yo, you know, walk with me. You know, we talking and shit, and we walking towards the car. They're like, yeah, I'm going to need you to turn around, put your hands behind your back. I'm like, you motherfucker. You
damn.
Motherfucker.
Damn, they
why?
Said, we got candy in the car, Danny.
Bro, I'm thinking, you know, it was going to be just a little conversation. Nah, bro.
He seem like a nice guy? Like he was playing like the good cop?
Bro,
good cop till
that's
the very end.
Exactly. Oh. That's exactly how I felt. So then when I'm in the car and we ride into the jailhouse, I'm like looking as they're typing up the report and I'm like, yo, that shit didn't happen, bro. So they're like deleting shit and like the part, man, it was all fucking stupid. Yo, I was good. I'm clear and free.
Good.
Yeah, but
that's all that matters. They got you.
Yeah, they got me for a couple of days.
Mm.
Had I known, right? Because one of the CEOs was like, yeah, just, you know, you'll see the judge and just plead no contest. Right? So that's actually what I did. And then another CEO pulls me to the side like, yo, you're in the military. You plead no contest. They won't let you carry a weapon.
Mm.
So, like, you got to plead no guilty. So then I had to wait till the afternoon to see the judge because it was, like, all through Zoom from the deal.
Mm.
So then I see the judge again, boom. And then I had a basically then saw the judge and then he just bailed out. But
did you plead? Not guilty?
Yeah, but I had to wait to see the judge that afternoon.
Okay,
that afternoon. So I couldn't get out that afternoon. I had to get out. They do a release at like 2 a.m. from the jail.
Did you get released with like some people you were scared to be released with?
Nah.
You're like, damn.
Nah.
2 a.m. right out the
jail. But it was like, bro, it was like, you know not to go in the fucking with nobody, like, you get what I'm saying? I'm just paying attention. My celly, he cool. He does tattoos and shit. He was trying to get me tattooing, and I'm like, I'm good, bro.
Were you teaching the guys some things about, you know, the up jab? You know, fuck up in there?
Bro, I was just glad I was
like,
bro, I was in there. I'm glad one of the nights I was in there was a Wednesday because Wednesday Empire used to come on and this night I used to watch Empire, so everybody just surrounding the TV just watching like the one TV show because, bro, even though it was just a jail, I'm like, bro, why is it 23-1? It was literally like I'm thinking like, all right, cool, we're gonna be able to come out, play some cards. Like, nah, bro, we was in the cell the whole fucking day. We got that 1 hour. It was really like two hours, but it was like 22-2.
How many people were watching Empire, like, around that TV?
Probably, like, I say...
A good 25.
Yeah, I say probably, like, 25, 30. But the TV hanging. the TV's hanging, right? So it's people that
who had control though.
The CEO.
What? He has the control, like the remote.
The CEO is the one came because I remember watching. I'm like, they're gonna put it on there. Like they had it on last week. So I'm just sitting there, and I remember CEO came, cut it on, and then it was the next day it was TNT, NBA Thursdays. So I got to watch that. They had the game on. I got to watch that for a little bit. And, yeah, it was cool. It was cool. Listen, you're not paying attention.
I'm not, because he put you full screen, and I could see the WBC medallion, and I forgot that we needed to respond to that email. They wanted to do a Zoom call and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You be slacking, bro. That day I told you, you had to remind me of them three things.
I
it's
did.
3 days later.
Bro, that shit was yesterday.
No. Okay. Because he likes to argue. He worse than me. We was arguing yesterday over him not wanting to eat in my car. Cause he only needed two more minutes to finish eating,
George.
But he didn't explain that, George.
That's not what we was arguing about. I wouldn't even say we was arguing. I think we was just having a discussion. First of all, Nesta says that we have to go. Now, I didn't know he had eight. He tells me, he's like, oh, I already ate. I'm like, oh shit, all right, cool. Go eat. So I come inside, get my food. He's like, yo, we gotta go. Like, and I'm like, bro. George, I was probably two or three bites away from finishing eating.
Yes.
So I look at him, and as I'm chewing, George, I'm fucking.
Yeah, that's how you chew?
Yo.
You look like a blowfish.
I'm literally.
Little hamster and shit.
Little hamster. I'm literally grinding the weed up. So I'm damn near done. He's like, yo, we gotta go. We gotta go. I'm like, bro, what the fuck?
I'm just trying to make sure.
You see, I was almost done. And
George,
he over here.
We have windows, right? Gyms open at 10 a.m. And these guys they're quick. They're not there to play games. You know what I'm saying? So if we get there by like 11:10, they're winding down.
Right.
They're wrapping up. We missed all the sparring. You know, it's all over. All we're getting is the end when they're fucking tired. They don't even want to be recorded at that point.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I can physically see them. I'm recording. They're trying to get behind the back. Like, dude, give me a fucking break. You just got here. I've been here for an hour and 20 plus minutes working. You know what I mean? I just know we got to get there early. So I wasn't trying to upset him. It's a fucking, shout out to Foodie Fit. It's a fucking Foodie Fit tray. Take that shit in the car. You're not even driving. You in a passenger. Like, what is the big deal? Like, he got so upset. I'm like, bruh, I never said stop eating. Bring it to the car.
That is so it's so funny you say that, because as soon as I came in here after your guys' show, I was like, this motherfucker Danny just left the Foodie Fit tray open on the desk. I was like, it had no context to it. I closed it up for you, by the way.
Yeah, he left it because he was so upset.
I think he was gonna leave at one point. I don't even leave the grinder out. I'm like, fuck it, we gotta go. I'm stopping what I'm doing, George. So I stopped
this
what
makes
I was
sense
doing.
Now.
I stopped.
Makes sense.
No,
he was being dramatic. The food
he
was there. I stopped. Grabbed my bag. He was like, fuck. I even left my camera behind because you know.
No, he picked up his bag. That's when I said, oh. I might have pissed him off. I thought he was about to leave. He picked up his bag and just paused, dropped his bag, and then left. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck is up with this guy?
I remember that my microphone is broke, and I was like, well, do I need my camera without a microphone? I'm not going to use it. So I'm like, fuck it. I might as well leave it.
You should have told me. I think I have mines in this house.
They said, we're like Batman and Robin, Regis and Kelly, Kobe and Shaq. Boxing number one duel, hands down.
Yo, and that, yeah. So they think we Batman and Robin, and so do I, but my man gets mad. So yesterday, right, he knows I can't pronounce the dude Jesse Bam is fighting's names properly, right? So rather than have 12 different interviews of me butchering his name, I'm like, look, you do the prediction for Bam and blank blank. All these faces, I'm like, damn, bro, I can't pronounce my man's name right. Like, Rumsey style. You can't say Rumsey style. I'm like, bro, what is up with you? Like, he was on one yesterday.
No, Judge, let me tell you what really happened.
He was on one.
Let me tell you what really happened, Judge.
He passed a long time. Yeah, he was really on one.
Let me tell you what really happened. So what really happened, he tells me, hey, I want you to do these predictions for the fight this weekend. I'm like, cool. So then I'm doing my first one, right? And then here comes fucking Ness from the back, like a little fucking parrot just chipping away, just fucking talking and talking from the back. So I'm like, bro, like, do you want to do it? And he just did this shit last week. Mind you, George.
Did what?
You fucking talking, like, while I'm interviewing. So
giving
then,
you more substances,
nah,
shit, like, to keep that
you
shit
do that before.
Spicing
do,
it up.
Nah, do that before.
It wasn't spicing it up?
Bro, so George, he was like, now ask about this fight. And in the back of my head, I'm like, yo, this fight's 5 fucking weeks away.
Yeah.
Like, so much can happen from now till
That's
then.
That's negative, Danny. I've noticed he's not optimistic at all.
I am
like,
realistic.
Yo, I am realistic. I've been knowing Danny now, what, 4 or 5 years?
4 years. Okay. Actually, no. Let me tell you something. Today.
Make something.
No, today. Today, George. Today makes 4 years.
Okay.
Today makes
4 years.
So
it's been 4 years.
It's our broversary.
It's been 4 years, and I didn't know half the shit that I know until now. It's like living with someone, right? So we see each other every day. And, yeah, he gets upset easy, and he's super pessimistic. Like, he doesn't see the glass half full at all. It's crazy to me. Everything is like, well, we're going to go there and probably only be one guy, and you know, fuck, it might rain and you have the hard top down, and you know, then he always finds something. It's like, yo,
bro,
chill.
You're so funny, shit.
But it's true, you're not negative.
I am realistic.
No, you're negative.
bro, what do I say that I'm wrong on? Like, usually
that I'm wrong on,
like, no, outside, no, I'm saying, like, cool, boom right here, boom right here, all right, cool, outside of this. Bro, the shit I say, usually I be right. Damn, Danny, why don't you care more about this fighter? Man, champ, I've been in the gym too long. He don't got it like that for real. Oh, no, you just negative. You hating. You don't want him to win. 2 weeks later. Damn, Danny, you was right, man. I was watching in the gym. Motherfuckers ain't worth shit.
I ain't never seen that. You lying.
Nah, bro, but I'm saying, like, I don't look at it like I'm being negative. I look at it like I'm being realistic. And another last thing for me, George.
Last thing.
As of right now. Last thing for me, George. Let me tell you. I realize Ness is right. Like, yo, you need your energy, your chi to be right.
Oh, my God. He's been stealing this from me. He's been stealing this from me. Oh, my God.
In order to come with the flow, in order to come with greatness, in order to just have the vibe and the energy to just give the people what they want that they don't even know that they need, everything got to be right. And sometimes Ness just fucks the energy up. Bro, he fucks my chi up. I can't.
Yo, how
do
you feeling my shit? That's my shit. Dude, get the fuck out of here.
Ness put me on to meditation. He put me on to Zen and energy. So now it's a part of my life. So, bro, you can't fuck with it. And he fucks with it.
Oh, wow. You're hilarious.
Yo, so why? Right.
That
so,
was great. Couples counseling. That's even titled this.
Let me tell you. So look, so Ness told me a long time ago, now maybe like 6 months ago, he's like, yo, he showed me somebody's Instagram page, and he's like, I want her on the show. Page I sent you at like 2 in the morning. That's another great thing. We can just send each other shit at like 1, 2, 3 a.m. We're going to respond typically within like 30 to 45 minutes at most.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
I was just at the strip club with her son.
No way.
Bro, her son, the only one that she's posted. I was just at the booty club with him, smacking asses.
Bro, she's huge.
To celebrate. Yeah.
She was on. Bro, it's crazy because I hate how small the world is, right? Like, I heard a Hot 97 interview, which how long might have been? It had to have been Charlamagne she was on.
Well, I know because
it was the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, she has a great relationship with Angela Yee.
It was definitely Charlamagne.
Sure.
So I heard an interview. So how long ago could it have been? Like, come on, I haven't been listening to Charlamagne since I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But I'm gonna check her messages right now and see how long it's been since I last messaged her. But the point is, I heard a Hot 97 interview, and she's some sort of marketing specialist.
Right.
And then she's on this interview with Charlamagne, and she's talking about how she only likes to help, people from the inner city, African Americans, small businesses. And I'm like, so she's like, but here's me DM, bro. I've been DMing since that fucking interview.
Bro. I mean, it's
crazy, man.
I ain't hit a sun up.
And then,
it's like 6 in the morning right now, but yeah.
No, but then it gets worse, George. Then it gets worse, right? So this isn't forever that I've been doing it, right? So I start to realize that she's commenting on all Devin's posts. Then I see she follows Bill. And I think maybe even Serafina, right?
I mean, a lot of people within the family. And
I'm like, this is crazy. Because she's like commenting like we're family with Bill and Devin and certain people. And I'm like, man. So I never reached out to Bill to be like, yo, plug me. But yeah, man, she was on that show, and she's in the marketing, and she's helped so many people. I mean, the interview is so long ago, I can't even give you like the big names that she's worked with. But yeah, I've been reaching out. Look, this is all last year.
Damn.
Yeah.
You ain't been playing. You've been reaching out for real.
Yeah, I've been reaching out, liking her pics. I ain't getting no love, no attention. But
so good, Champ.
Is key.
It's a small world, Champ.
Yo, why BoMac hit me up yesterday? This the bullshit about this sport. BoMac just hits me out of nowhere like, I heard that bullshit. You picked Rolly to beat Keyshawn?
Bro, it never so funny.
I'm like,
no, I
definitely did not.
I saw that.
Like, yo, what's up, man?
And I remember.
Why y'all be throwing dirt on my name? Who out there fucking messing with my name in the corporate tent, man?
Go to my Instagram
That's
story.
That's some bullshit, man.
So Nestor and I, met 4 years ago today. So yeah, go to my Instagram story because you got the audio. This was a year ago yesterday what Nestor's pulling up. But, yo, I saw that message BoMac sent you. I found it so funny. I'm like, yo, that's bullshit. So I knew what
Keyshawn got the interview on his page, and it clearly don't show me saying nothing like that. It's just what I'm like, because I don't want to fucking, Like, I told you I'm not picking nobody no more, man. They be killing me for this shit. It's not fair. So what am I showing your story?
Yeah.
So it means I already seen it because it's not there. This?
No, not that.
There's only one there. That's just not there. It's over. It's gone, bro.
Man, that's it.
Oh, I ain't in his close friends. That's what it is. My bad. You got it. It's in your close friends.
Is it in my close
friends? It got to be, bro. It got to be. That's
Damn,
for,
why would I put it in my close
that's for,
friends?
That's for only for Cole, Albert Bell. You know what I'm saying? Dez.
Nah, this ain't. This I posted this in my. Why would I post this in my close friends?
Oh, I'm sorry.
My bad, bro. Well, I was basically I was attempting to show you the video of BoMac offering me the Terrence Crawford fight. That was a year ago yesterday, actually. I saw that in my memories as I was on the toilet. Why you why you pulling that up? That's weird.
You look mad young there.
That was
You probably need to get rid of beard, bro. You're looking older than what you are. George, too, though. George said he was 23. I thought my man was 33. No
Damn,
bullshit.
Damn, George, you 23?
Yeah, he's younger than you.
Damn, I thought he was like my age.
No, I thought he was 33. You guys got to get rid of these beards. Y'all tripping.
I ain't getting rid of my beard.
Rick Ross got y'all thinking y'all hot, man. Knock it off. Look at this. Look at y'all. Oh, my God. He really think he hot. Bro, who takes pics like that?
Nah, that was like a off, you feel me? Like, yeah, I wasn't done smiling. I was like on my way to go smile, and then the picture got took, and right. I'm like, that ain't that bad. You know, I was on my way to go smile. But
that ain't that bad. Hilarious. You know what I mean? Hilarious. Let me pull up my bookie here. I made some bets yesterday for those that didn't join us on the evening show. There are some pretty good bets to be made. And, you know, fortunately for us, mybookie.ag has a lot of prop bets. A lot of prop bets. I can't even believe this. They have Enrico Coiling. I can't believe they have
Get the fuck out of here. Who?
Yeah, they have that fight. Isn't he a heavyweight?
Bro, I ain't heard of Enrico Coiling. Like, why? They got him on my belief.
Michael, I can... Silask?
Oh,
Silask?
Wow.
Another Poland dude.
So he ain't even like...
This Poland dude's not even undefeated. He's fighting a dude that, you know, he's trying to get back in there. But that's what I'm saying. I'm shocked that they got this shit. But he's that cruiser, not heavy.
Oh, wow. He's a cruiserweight.
Okay, yeah, of course. Then, Amaury. What the fuck is this? Who's Amaury? And he's an underdog. That's so Dominican, that name.
Amaury?
Hell yeah. I mean, I guess in English is Amari, but it would need an I to be Amaury in English.
So how is it spelled in Spanish?
With the Y.
So A-M-A-R-Y?
U-R-Y.
Okay.
Oh, wow. He's from neither. My man's from Belgium.
Uh-huh.
And, wow. Why is this his BoxRec pick? That's, yeah.
Bro, so, BoxRec pictures are like the worst.
Yeah. They're horrible.
They're literally like mugs.
I can't believe my bookie has all these weird fights. That fight's happening in France.
Bro, why do you say it like that?
I mean, it's France. Where is it?
Nah, man, whatever, yeah, but...
It's for the vacant EBU, European Union, European Union super welter title. 15-0 is this guy, Milian Pratt, who he's going to be taking on. And Amaury is 10-0 with 3 KOs. Uh-oh. Hold on. Oh, wow. And Pratt is 15-12. The one he went the furthest was 6 rounds with Matisse.
How many times he been knocked out in those 12 losses?
Losses. Both these men are undefeated. Why are you disrespecting?
So he's saying 15 and 12.
My man from France looks better and is going to be in his hometown.
15-0 with 12 knockouts. Say that.
Oh, wow. He's a super favorite. He's minus 1,400 million. But let's see, can we put together a favorites parlay?
Yeah, they making fun of the way he's saying France.
It's France. I have a friend.
I consider him
a good friend, Coach Mitty.
Yeah, shout out Coach Mitty.
And that's how he says it, because that's where he's from.
Oh, he's from France.
Yeah. Born and raised in France.
He lives in the UK. Okay.
Watch Mitty call in. Like, I do not say it like
that. Yo, George, the other day he tries to do an Australian impression, right? And he does, like, a British impression. And then he tries to do, like, the British impression and does, like, an Irish impression, right?
I'm going to take this out because I don't know that dude like that. And he ain't really helping.
And then he tried to do, like, an Irish impression. But what he did instead was, like, just his own shit. It was, like, a mixture of, like... Like kangaroo and like de lo mio. It was like kangaroo and de lo mio mixed together.
Kangaroo, huh?
Yo.
Do any of you guys have a sleeper out there? Because there's so many names I've never heard of. This is crazy. I heard of Scott Forrest, but he's too much of a favorite. All these guys. Matter of fact, it doesn't even matter because all these guys are so much of a favorite. It would hurt to put them in this parlay. Right now I got a 3-team parlay of all favorites.
Yeah, champ, you need something like close. So no minus 3,000 ain't going to help you.
No, I know. But no, this is also tutorials. So, like, we got Jesse Bam in there as a favorite. We got Akhmadaliev in there as a favorite, and then McCaskill as a favorite, which puts us at a plus 60. So if we could just get 40 more points, we making plus money. So every 100, you know, is 100 plus your 100 back.
Plus your
But we need a little something more to bring us there, because right now that's only 3 fights that are guaranteed to win for the most part.
So
who my man Corey Gibbs? I'm about to look this dude up. Oh, he the favorite too. He out here wilding. Who you be? Oh, he from the UK? Hey. Oh, we ain't related, bro.
Yo.
He ain't got no power.
Yo.
He 3-0, bro. I mean, he got 3 KOs. We ain't related. He ain't got no power, man.
Unlike you.
He ain't got no pop.
Nah, hey.
Yo, that's how my hair used to be when I was young.
Fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
Daddy's so silly.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yo. Yo, fucking Google showing you everything I be searching and shit.
Yo, they saying, they're saying that Ness Australian impression sounds like a Game of Thrones character.
Mm-hmm,
yo,
mm-hmm.
Ain't that, you went to that, right?
Hell yeah.
Yo, they coming out with.
Isn't the countdown like 3 days left, George?
They coming out with some new shit,
I'm
right?
I'm not into Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he let me down. He did.
Yeah, you even gave me the little like.
You let me down.
Keith
big
love rock
time.
And
that's
roll.
Crazy.
You just assumed because he was of the Caucasus.
No, I just assume he's actually Cuban, you jerk. You met his dad.
You're right.
But
damn. Fuck that.
No,
up.
I just assume he has a Game of Thrones type of face, like he watches Game of Thrones, you know?
I'm just not into that medieval fantasy stuff. No.
Fantasy!
That's not real.
Football and fucking wrestling is fantasy.
Football?
Yes.
Motherfucking... You better watch yourself, Ness.
Bullshit.
Better watch yourself.
Bullshit. Bullshit. Let me see if I put this dude Gibbs up in here. Oh, damn. Gibbs actually gives us the 48 points we need. If we add Gibbs by decision, which he's obviously getting, and the man ain't getting a knockout. He got 3 knockouts in his career. But he's on a win streak. He hasn't lost. So he don't know how to lose. The fight is taking place in his hometown. Not his hometown, but at least his home country. He's fighting Carlos Perez. Let's see who's Mr. Perez. Oh, come on, man. Perez got 17 wins, 6 losses, 1 of those by KO. He's coming off a draw not too long ago to Zeus de la Armas. Uh-oh, damn, he's from España.
España.
Fuck, man. They can box.
España.
Bo, what up, man? What's this? ¿Cómo está?
Damn, he said, fuck you. He ain't even acknowledging.
Yo, bro, he working, man. I always hating on people, bro.
Nah, bro. Yeah, how many
this guy on? Has lost a yo, lot. I think on. I'm leaving as Jonah Carl beat the dude, but he beat him in points. He didn't knock him out.
Bo, where you get that snow from, bro?
Bro, he from Tennessee.
Nah,
you Nashville.
Got that pack, son. My man stay with the flannels. I be fucking with it.
I mean, he Suge Knight influence.
Nah, let me tell you, because, you know, when I started to get
fat.
You
know I put you on, bro.
Yeah, when I started to get fat, I started to rock the flannels.
Nah,
so I could do like,
don't hide the fat.
Nah, now.
Burn the fat.
Yeah, now I'm burning it.
Oh, why?
Like, I've been burning that.
Oh, why?
How did he?
Oh, why?
We opening up the Zoom for the 7 a.m. interview now.
Who is that?
The guy, Lord, he's been in camp with Mark Zayel.
Yeah. No, I that's Dominic Crowder is his name. Yeah, but ain't he on the East or he's still in L.A.? Oh, he's still in L.A.? Yeah, because I spoke to him, and I thought he was going to make the trip, man. I was hoping he would have made the trip. Like, we ride her. Bring it. We ride here. So, I'm telling you right now, this is a good parlay. This is a good parlay. But we gonna see.
Talk
if we
to
could.
Me, Chan. Let me see what you got.
So I got Jesse Bam Rodriguez's money line.
Oh, man, a little bit, bro. So, you know, the people joining us on YouTube.com/TheBoxingBoys can see.
So I got Jesse Bam Rodriguez's money line.
Okay.
I got Akhmadaliev money line.
They ain't got Akhmadaliev by knockout?
They do, but that's you can't lowering the probability. No, you could probably do that, but it's lowering your probability because now he's only got one way to win. You know he's winning. See, for me, the goal is to get plus money out of favorites. So the more favorites I put, the more plus money I get. Once I get to the plus 110, 120 that I need, like right now I'm at 108. That's good money for McCaskill. She going to win one way or another, whether it's by knockout or decision, she winning.
Nice.
Akhmadaliyev, he to unify with Fulton. Ain't no way he losing. Whoever the fuck he fight, I don't know who he fight, I don't care who he fight, he ain't losing. Then you got Bam. That's the tough fight.
They saying that you can't even do that. You can't parlay money lines with
knockouts.
We had method of victory on my bookie.
Word?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to have to find that out for myself right now. Let's see. I'm taking them out.
Trial and error.
Yeah, I'm taking them out. If I put them in as a knockout, it's down. Boxing. I need a big win, too, but I'm trying to be desperate and bet big, you know, just to get a big win because then I could lose. I'm trying to see can I get it back in small batch.
No, that makes sense.
That makes a little bit at a time.
That makes perfect sense.
Come back. Let's see. Akhmadaliyev by knockout. Boom. Oh, you might be right. I seen a switch to four betting slips.
No.
They don't let you, right?
Mm.
They know more than me.
Mm-mm-mm. Fuckers. Fuckers, fuckers, fuckers. Uncle fuckers.
Very few people are betting sites let you do that now. So
really?
Very few.
That's so funny.
Very few.
Isn't that more difficult to say, yo, George is going to knock you out, but knockout plus Danny goes decision like...
No, of course, the thing with those things that are more difficult, that because they are more difficult, they have a higher payout when they do hit. Some sports books choose not to fuck with them. I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know if that's why, but I know that majority that is.
I'm putting Madaliyev back in there, even though he's a minus 680. So we could also take him out and see if we find someone better. He's, you know, he's not really helping that much at all.
So who you thinking?
Well, I got him in there still, and I'm still going because there's a lot of people. He says he's on there. He just can't hear or nothing. You working with it?
Yeah. I'm just getting it all set up for you guys.
You're the man. So we do have Jonathan. Maybe if we took out – yo, you know who's on the Friday card?
Who?
Christian Thun. I seen him post it.
Their next one, not this weekend.
Damn.
Yeah.
Shout
out to Christian Thun, though. He will be fighting July 9th on Pro Box.
Yo, maybe we take out Moradon. Let me see if we take out Moradon and we put in your boy Gonzalez at Moneyline. Woo! Look, we have 123 now. How sure are you of your man Gonzalez, though?
Not sure at all, honestly. I ain't never seen a fight.
What?
I haven't seen his highlight.
How the fuck you want to do a live fight chat for a dude you never seen fight?
Because, bro, he's such small weight that down. I just had highlights. You know, I can find a stream.
I bet you, I wonder if these dudes even know this 108 pounder, bro. Take that down, screen share, please. Thank you. Let me see here.
We are working, though. We are working. Should be having our first guest of the day.
Yep, we got him on.
Beautiful.
Oh, he's there. What's going on, Mr. Crowder?
Mr.
Dominic.
Crowder. His Zoom's acting up a bit right now. Keep on going.
All right. Well, I'm creating a poll.
Mm-hmm.
He just says, should I wait till 7? Bo, hit him back. I'm creating a poll to see if people even know. I'm not going to give them the normal options of knockout and decision because we don't have enough. Because I need to put in there, I don't know these people.
You're putting that as an option. Okay.
Yeah, because I don't even know them. I've been doing this shit for 10 years. And plus, I don't know these dudes.
No, for sure.
You know what I mean? I got a $5 super chat from Jazz, who says, how about Let me see here. How about Jesse KO at 230, Rung looked off versus Ryong Rung?
Bro, you should have put that it's for the WBO 108 title, because maybe that'll refresh some people's memories.
Refresh, dog. He's there? Dominic, you there?
Did not connect to his audio. Mm. Oh, no. It keeps... Yeah, he's got... His Wi-Fi connection's popping up a little weak right now.
Mm. Guess we'll just have to get that figured out. But in the meantime, Ness, just want to remind everybody, if you are tuned in, make sure to like, subscribe, hit that notification bell to let you know when we go live. Let you guys know when we go live. So Robert the Genius, $2 super chat saying, Ness, get the okay for Border Wars.
Rob, check your IG, man. I sent you a very heartfelt, long message, man. But for those that want Border Wars, man, it is what it is. That shit calls for red. And until we got the 10 stacks to do it, it ain't getting done.
Simple.
You know, I can't do... People are suggesting for me to do something less than. I ended it. You know, George, I started Border Wars, which was like listeners that, you know, debated, or, you know, maybe they were toxic, or maybe they thought they knew more than, or maybe they were the ones to tell fighters, you know, he's not throwing enough punches, or, man, if I would have been in there, I'd have did this. Or maybe they fought and wanted to try, you know. So we put them together, and we started 13 seasons ago, and, you know, we had these Border Wars. Uh-oh. Dominic, what up?
What's up, bro? Man,
you got it.
Hard time to get on. What's good, brother?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. Happy to have you, man. I know you're out there in camp and in L.A., so just talk to us a little bit about that.
So I'm out, well, right now, yeah, I really want to keep everything confidential, you know.
Oh, they don't want you to say who you're working with?
Yeah, they keeping me as a secret right now.
Mm.
They keeping me a secret right now, you know. I mean, we could talk about it later, but they keeping everything a secret right now, everything confidential. But Kelly at Wildcard Gym, you know, getting some great work with these guys out here on the West Coast, you know. Out here with Freddie Roach and Sean Gibbons, them guys, you know, I've been out here for like 3.5 weeks now.
Wow.
So I've just been out here. Yeah, I've been out here getting work right after my fight. They flew me out here, you know. So I've been getting some top-level work out here with champions.
That's got to be great, man. For those that don't know, we're being joined by Dominic Dimes Crowder. He's 13-0 as a professional, over 80-something fights as an amateur, 3 national under his belts, 2 golden gloves, and on his way to be a contender. And you're still my guy, right? Did he fall off with Guzman?
Yeah, I'm with Guzman and Mark Breland. Guzman in the best sleep right now.
he's where?
He's in the back room sleep.
Oh, okay. Well, let him know, man. I said hello. So you've added Mark Breland.
No, I had Mark Breland because I was an amateur. I actually added Guzman.
Oh, wow. Really? That's crazy, because when I met you, I didn't see Mark there when I met you.
Yeah, look, because when me and you probably don't remember when me and you first met, this was back, this when I was ahead with Deontay Wilder and Mark Breland.
Oh,
you ain't know me, I was an amateur.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Wow, that's crazy.
This one used to, you know, come out with Deontay Wilder.
Yeah.
I was an amateur. Mark used to take me to camp with him back then. So I've been seeing before, you know, all this. So I always wanted to do an interview with you back then, but I guess the time is now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you had to speak up, though, too. I definitely, look, we just interviewed Matthew, what's his name? Amateur at Bones?
I can't remember his last name.
But yeah, you know, we interview amateurs all the time now.
Yeah.
But, like you said, the time is definitely right. You know, you're doing your thing. And I actually know who you spawn because it's easy to tell from your Instagram. You know that. You can't keep that a secret with these pictures, bro. Yeah. So, go ahead. What you was about to say?
If you know, you know, you know. Yeah. They don't, you know, they've been good. So I'm just, you know, listening to whatever they tell me. You know, they want to keep everything confidential, and that's how I am. You know, I'm a real professional.
For sure. And are you with Adam Glenn, right?
Yeah, I'm with Adam Glenn.
Okay, okay. Oh, shout out to Adam.
Sean Gibbons got me down here.
Okay.
So.
Nice. Yeah. Shout out to Sean, man. He's got a lot of fighters, man. So other than working with champions and being at the wild card, which must be a dream, right? Like, because, you know, I'm sure you've gotten to see Pacquiao on 24/7 and all these networks training with Freddie throughout the years. So how has that been for you? Is it surreal? Like, how'd you feel walking through those doors and stepping in the gym that Pacquiao's been sparring for all these years, even Miguel Cotto?
Cotto, all them guys, you know, I feel good. Like, this is my first time, you know, in L.A., so when I got the call, you know, I was excited, you know. Then he told me I was going to be training that wild card. That made it even more better. I'm in here around, you know, every day you're seeing guys you see on TV, you know, like, I'm training with Elvis Rodriguez, he here.
Elvis.
Ivan Redcatch, Virgil Ortiz come through, Blair the Flair, all them in the gym every day. So it's like, I'm around top guys, you know, and I'm spawn, well, and I'm working around, you know, good coaches too. So it just feels good, you know, my first time here, I get to experience that. You know, I'm learning this West Coast style and everything.
And you're originally from Baltimore, right?
I move around a lot since I'm Hampton. My dad lives in New York, so my amateur career was basically in New York. I won freaking a lot of tournaments there. So I always used to travel with the New York national team. So a lot of people think I'm from New York, but I'm not.
It's funny because being with Breland as an amateur, I would have assumed the same thing. But when I hear the two, I hear the Baltimore too.
So I
know. Yeah, man. But so has Freddie said anything specific to you that got you going, got you excited?
Yeah, when I actually first got here, you know, he said, man, I've been looking at videos of you, you know. I've been studying. You know, they got to actually watch you to even, you know, for you to even come here. So I was like, all right. I was like, man, that's cool. And then, you know, he seen me working things like that. He's like, he's good. He tell me every time, like, beautiful, beautiful. He always tell me. All these guys out here, been, you know, I've been getting nothing but good compliments by these guys out here. You know, I've been taking in and just keep working, really just waiting on my time, you know.
So you sound younger than you look, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or rather, you sound and look all right, because you're 28.
Yeah. Keep myself healthy. You know?
For sure.
Drinking and smoking, things like that. I just stay in the gym and, you know, keep working. Like, I'd be active. I'm one of them active fighters. I love what I do.
So what is next for you? Do you have a date? Do you have something in the works?
Shoot, man. I just fought like 3 weeks ago. In D.C. on Anthony Peterson undercard. So hopefully, you know, I'm doing good out here, so I hope, you know, something unfolds from this opportunity, you know. Right now I'm looking to shoot. They got me at 122 right now. I'm going to try to go down to 118 and make something happen quick.
Wow.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm 122 pretty easy, and I weigh in around 120. So I feel like I could get to something quicker at that weight class. If not, I stay where I'm at. Everything good at this weight class already.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, obviously you did crack that top 15 earlier in the year, in the rankings. Just talk about how that's helped motivate you and, push you in the ring, even now being in camp, with world-class, talent.
Yeah. I'm doing the right thing, and I'm taking some good fights. I ain't fighting like bums like these guys be doing out here. I want to fight good competition so I could, get to the goal quicker. That's what it's all about, I feel like if you ain't doing what you're doing it for.
That's a fact. Absolutely.
I'm not trying to be running the treadmill, So, like I said, I'm willing to step up. I want to, but it's just time and really get these guys in the ring, I guess.
Yeah, man.
Is it hard remaining patient for you? Obviously, you're not the oldest, but you're definitely the youngest either when it comes to the sport. Is it hard remaining patient for the right time for you?
Yeah and no, because so I'm on a fast track. If you look, they got me on a fast track, and so I feel like if I was with a promoter, I would have been even further than what I am right now, I don't know. It's like promoters be pulling some strings or whatever, so they're getting their fighters ranked quicker and higher.
Absolutely.
Than, and nobody. And it's like, I don't know how it works, but I feel like, I get with a promoter, I'm going to be good. They're going to have me on an even more fast track than I want. And then I believe something, Actually, my last fight, the guy I fought, I was supposed to be fighting for the WBA gold. But I found out 2 days before the fight, it was a no-go. So that would have had me, that would have had my ranking up there.
Absolutely.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Thank God without doubt, though. So it's definitely been mine.
No, absolutely. So for you, obviously, if things were in your control and ideal for you, how many more times would you get in the ring this year?
Well, I've been there 2 times so far, about 3 more times.
Damn. 5 total.
One time. Yeah, I'm trying to get on the undercard and Danny Garcia undercard at the Barclays.
Okay. Is it looking good or we still work on it?
That's what I'm putting in. So hopefully it come about, That's like New York is like my second home, so I know I can sell out there too.
Right.
And DMV and New York, about both of them,
Sure. So if you were to get on that undercard, which is about 5 weeks away, and they told you we got a fight for you, but at 18, could you make 18? You was talking about going to 18. Could you make 18 in 5 weeks?
Yeah, let's do it. And I asked no questions about no names or nothing. Let's do it.
It's a lot of big names. Obviously, no way just got the knockout over. Donelia just wanted his thoughts on that fight, though.
Yeah, that was a good one. But I know it wouldn't be him yet, So, for anybody under that, we could do it.
For sure.
Yeah, so I got a couple of questions from people, Dominic. Let me get to those. First one is coming from San Antonio, Texas, and he says, what's your thoughts on Bam Rodriguez's fight this coming weekend? Obviously, Saturday. He'll be taking on.
Oh, Sohrab Vesai. Sohrab Vesai.
I like Roger. I'm a fan of him, man. That guy, real badass. He real seasoned. He's just a great fighter all around. I actually think he's going to win, too. I know the other guy he's fighting, he's rugged and things like that. But I think Bam just got more. He's too much. He got a lot, he's still young and learning, but he's just a beast.
Yeah.
He's a beast.
He is, man. We got to see him work
about a month ago.
Definitely puts it in. So you said Sean Gibbons got you up there. How did that happen? Does he know Adam? Did he see you fight? Did he DM you? Like, how did you put it together?
It was a little mix of everything, you know. Adam, somebody I know from out here, Steve Justin from the Bay Area. And he watched my some pictures of me on Instagram, you know. But he was telling me, like, yo, we was been had you out here, you know. We just thought you was the southpaw. You know, we thought you was southpaw the whole time. And I was just like, no, like, I just fight southpaw, but I'm actually an orthodox fighter. So once he put that out, he's like, we need you, you know, you're the perfect description. I fit the script, you know, so they got me out here.
Yeah, because based off that picture, you're extremely tall, and you know, you would make, I guess, physically emulate height and reach of a Vargas.
Yeah, for sure. Everything the same with me.
But it's crazy, though. It's crazy because you have to have a different style. Vargas is straight Mexican, bro. I've met him at the WC convention.
Yeah, he is straight Mexican, but if you think, bro, like, he not, I don't call fighters, like, he a smart fighter. Like,
yeah, no,
Mexican,
I don't think he does the Mexican style, but he's also not slick, though.
He not slick. He not slick at all. He just, he the guy that's going to bang you out, you know? But he's smart when he's doing it. He a technical banger. Like, he knows exactly what he's doing. You know, like, he rips the body real good. He throw everything hard. You know, that's Vargas. And he stay tall. I could do that. But my first instinct is being a slick boxer, hit and not get hit.
Yeah.
You know, that's. But I actually could. I could fight you if I had to. You know, I could come and bring it to you. I could do that.
So how's that been, though? How's that been for you, changing your style to be a banger with the person you're sparring? He's already a banger. So like,
exactly. So it's like I'm doing both. I mix it up doing both. You know?
Okay.
Both.
Oh, so they let you still be you.
Yeah, they let me still be me.
Oh, that's
just
good.
Just no southpaw. Bro, I fight southpaw real good, like, but I just can't do that, so, you know.
Wow, so you must be really good at how do you say that word? At being at, no, neither one.
Empathetic?
No.
Empathetic.
Nah, when you can switch, left and right.
You must be really good at that. If you fight in a professional, as a professional, you fight as a southpaw, but you're being brought in to spar a champion as an orthodox, you're pretty good at switching,
bro.
Man. Because I would, honestly, like, if you tell me I got to spar someone as a southpaw, I'm not going to spar him because I'm so used to sparring orthodox. You tell me I got to spar somebody as a southpaw that's a champion, man, I'm really not getting in the ring. So you actually you must be very confident.
Yeah, it's crazy. Sometimes, like, when I be in Florida and a guy got a fight coming up and he fighting a southpaw long, I fight him southpaw. I spawn southpaw, you know. So if you watch all my fights on Instagram and stuff, I'm fighting out of the southpaw position on all of them. You know, every video I'm fighting out of the southpaw position, like, and I'm pretty good at it. I can fight the whole fight southpaw.
So you brought both trainers up there?
No, I just won.
Oh.
Jose Guzman, he just came days ago.
It's good for him, too, because he's younger. So he could soak that in, man. You know?
Yeah.
That's
so
good.
He just had me out here by my...
Oh, so Guzman made the trip on his own.
Yeah, I mean, they got him out here, but he just came a few days ago. He's working with Big Baby Miller in Miami.
Oh, so he went out to Columbia?
No, he didn't go. You know, well, yesterday, but he didn't go, so he came here.
Okay.
He went out there with some other. So I've been out here, you know, by myself in L.A. just trying to figure it out, looking around, things like that. After I do my work, I come back to the Airbnb and chill. I walk around by myself.
You alone in Airbnb or is other fighters?
It's me and him. It wasn't another fight.
You and who? You and who? Jose?
No, now it was just me and Jose, but at first it was me and Eduardo Baez.
Oh.
He just fought a real lane.
Yeah.
Cool, good guy. It was me and him out here, so. But he just left, so now it's just me and Jose.
Right. He's out here, man. Just in case, you're only 3 hours away if you want to come out this way.
Right.
You're done over there.
Right.
Right. I was just in Vegas, like, I told you, like, a month and a half ago with Mickey Vick. My guy right there. I was out there with him.
Yeah.
So,
but was you with school when you was out here? You was with school from Brooklyn?
No, I know school and Don. He was out there with the Michael Harris.
Yeah. They both were spawned.
Yeah. I went out to school. I was out there. Just me and my girl came up there on vacation, but I went out there to link up with Mickey Bay, you know, stuff with him.
His brother's putting on some pretty good shows. They just had another successful show in Ohio. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He wanted me to go on that joint.
Yeah, you should.
Get on it. Yeah, just sport, though, you know.
You see Darren Cunningham's show? You heard about it? In the Lou?
They got, he just won.
Yeah. But he had 3,500 people in St. Louis.
Oh, that's good, man. That's good. I mean, he's doing his thing, you know. He's doing his thing right now. He might be cutting. I think he's right under me, too.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's right under me. I can fly under me in a country, though.
All right, man. I know. Somebody going to sleep on him. Somebody going to sleep on him because of them two losses. But he's all right.
Man.
He's all right, man. I watched him spawn a couple of days ago with somebody who's very good.
I think he's pretty good, too, you know. Just, I don't think he's supposed to lose to them two guys he lost to, you know, because he definitely got skills. I don't know what it was, but I feel like he's still affecting him. Just because you lost, you know, that don't really mean nothing. One or two losses, I think you could bounce back. But he's just going to have to do it the right way, you know, stay out of.
He switched trainers. What's his trainer's name now?
I can't.
It's a Spanish dude, but I like that Spanish dude a lot, man.
Yeah.
He used to train out of Jack, he said.
Okay. I actually seen him fight, like, the two fights before he lost. He fought somebody I fought, Rob Diesel, you know, in Baltimore. He fought on Truck Undercard, Lorenzo Simpson Undercard. I was there. I was watching, you know, so I was watching. It was a pretty good fight.
Yeah. Obviously, maybe he fought him actually right after you fought him. I'm saying.
Hey, that's me. I broke him up already.
So obviously that's a fight that you'd be willing to entertain.
Yeah, hell yeah. I'll fight him.
Now, do you have a good relationship with Truck Simpson?
Yeah, that's my boy right there.
How you think that's gonna be for him? Because I know he has a good relationship both ways, right?
Hey, look. I don't think Truck wants that to happen right now.
No, that's
I don't think so. I don't think my boy be messing around with it. You know, one of my boys from my neighborhood, he's like, yo, like, let's make that fight happen, Dom versus him, you know? And I don't know what they're doing right now, but I'm open to it, you know?
Me versus Darren. Oh, Darren Cunningham?
Yeah, because I asked him. Obviously, Truck has a relationship with both men. So I'm like, how you think Truck would feel? Because, you know.
I don't know, because that's what I'm saying. He just did 3,500 without you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he
don't need me. I'm a high risk, low reward, bro.
Yeah.
I'm there to tell you, bro.
Yeah.
You
could fuck up the money train for him. You know, he just did. That's his biggest gate. So, like, they better go back over there.
So, I respect that, you know. Like, Truck, he hang out with that guy, you know, a lot. You know, that's his way, too, I can tell. But You know, they respect me. They respect what I'm doing and things like that. You know, I'm doing it for real, bro.
No, absolutely.
It's for real.
I'm
with the gimmicks. I ain't with the gimmicks and stuff and the Instagram stuff.
Yo, but, you know, to an extent, it is important, though.
It is.
The Instagram is important.
Yeah, oh, no, my Instagram cool. My Instagram pretty. I got my Instagram lit. You know, I got everybody that's somebody in a boxing game, like the fighters, they know me. They know good. Like, so, you know, I got, they respect first. Now I'm starting to get the casuals and things like that. You know, people, like, I got a big support system, you know, from the DMV to New York. You know, I'm just building it up as I go. Even in Florida, I did like 6 camps in Florida, so I built that up. Now I'm over here in Cali, so just trying to, you know, keep winning fans and, you know, keep, I feel like the more I win, that's the more, that's, I gain more fans as I go.
Sure.
I got
Ruin of 504 New Orleans. He says, what fight do you have your heart set on to keep moving you up the rankings?
Shout out to New Orleans. I did Camp there too, like 3 times. With Zero, Jeremy Hill.
What's that, the 54 pounder? What weight is Jeremy?
35. Jeremy Hill, 130 foot on top range, just lost.
He had the braids, right? He had braids? Yeah.
He had the braids, yeah. My boy. We did like 2-3 camps together, but I'm looking for a good fighter, you know, 118, 122, you know. I think I'm a campaign at 118 now because I can make it easy, you know. So shoot, man, anything that can get me closer and closer to the goal, you know, I'm with it.
Hmm. For so. We got any more questions?
We sure do. We sure do. Let me get to Brandon in Houston. Says, you have the strongest Baltimore accent I can remember. Can you say it's true? I watched Hulu drinking Mountain Dew.
Hell no. Leave that man alone.
Yo, that's hilarious. He said, can you say it's true? I watched Hulu drinking Mountain Dew. Yo.
I feel in Baltimore, so, you know.
I don't know. I think even Coach Calvin's might be, if not stronger on that level.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that was a...
Say it again?
Think mine's stronger than Coach Calvin?
Nah, I think Coach Calvin might be stronger. I think his accent might be stronger than yours, for sure.
Probably, because, like, I don't be there a lot. Like, even though I live there, I don't be there a lot.
No.
I'm always on the go.
For sure. That's why you don't got it. You know, you got it, but... Coach Calvin's, his is strong. He's older, you know.
Coach Calvin's still there. He in the city, so you know he's going to have
it. Absolutely.
Well, Dominic, those are all our questions, man. I want to thank you, obviously, for coming on the show. And thank you for updating our listeners about everything you've got going on. Please give out your social media so that we can... for anybody that's crazy enough not to be following you can do so. And we would love to get you back on as soon as you figure out what's your next date. Yeah, we appreciate it.
So my name on Instagram is Lordom, LOR_DOMES. And on Facebook is Dominique Dom Crowder. That's all I got. And, man, thank y'all for having me. Thanks. I appreciate, the opportunity. You know, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Dominic Dimes Crowder, up and coming prospect on the fringe contender level. He cracked top 15, like when he said on the cusp. He said he'd take a fight with Kingham. I wasn't expecting that. Danny stirring the pot. I thought it was just me.
I thought it was just me. No, I mean, I like friendly competition, and I like to see the fighters champed up. So.
Obviously, I think I got to make
it. I know they both have a relationship with Truck, so mutual relationship there, and figured I'd bring it up there, so We got any calls?
So
no, remember,
technically speaking, we're down the 112 for Heron. Then we spent 50-50 on that $100 7 through 12 bet, so that put us at 212. And now, out of the new 200 I threw up in there, we down to 157, which means we've already spent and or lost 43. But is it worth it right now to make a comeback with this bet? Now, this is a good bet because of Danny and his whack-ass fight that he didn't even watch, and we find that out today. So now we have to decide if we're going to go off of Danny's highlight research or take him out and put back Mordon, which is more of a favorite, so you would have less of a plus. Right now we're at a plus 123, so 100 wins me back 123.38 plus my 100 back. So that means we're halfway away from what we lost. And this is an all favorite parlay. Bam Rodriguez, Jessica McCaskill took Gibbs out. What the fuck? I forgot about Gibbs.
How do you forget about Gibbs?
I forgot he was in there. I guess I can't put 100 on a dude two dudes I never heard of, but they both be favorites. You see that? Gibbs is a decision heavy favorite. So is fucking this guy's boy, Jonathan Gonzalez, heavy favorite. How do you feel about that? Are you looking at this or what?
You're looking at it.
Lying.
I am.
What are you doing over there?
Look at the
next time you see him on that page, George, screen share so we know what he's fucking watching.
I'm watching you.
Liar.
We can make it happen.
Let's go. Keep him on his fucking toes, this guy, over here surfing the internet. Meanwhile, I'm down $200+. Fuck is wrong with this guy? And he's recommending fucking dudes that we never heard of.
Well, I'm betting the A-side. I'm betting the champion.
Yo, if we go all in, we make damn near everything we lost.
And we ain't down all that, is it?
We definitely down all that.
I thought you just said $40 now.
No.
We're down 40.
No, we down more. Remember, we started. You ain't got nothing to do with my Heron bet when I put 112 on Heron. So I'm down that. Then we sent 100 to Andre for the 7 through 12. So we down that. Then we just spent $3 on bets. Technically, we down like 200 and like 60. So this is still don't bring us all the way back, but it brings us back. It brings us back.
Can I tell you something interesting I've learned over the years of living in Las Vegas and sports betting? I learned from a person that used to cash sports tickets at a sports book. He told me out of 7 years that he worked at a sports book, he can count on two hands how many four-team parlay tickets he's actually cashed or people have.
Not in boxing, though. Not in boxing. Bro, that's all day. This is all day in boxing.
On both, you saying he can only count on both hands the number of times he's won.
So 10 or less.
No.
In 7 years,
bro,
where he cashed a parlay of over 14.
I can't believe
teams.
That. Because I literally.
I hit parlays all day.
I can tell you specifically 2-4 teams that I hit back-to-back weekends. Like, you get what I'm saying? I just. Now, like, anything over 5 for sure.
Yeah, but football and all that shit is different because I got point spreads and all that. Like, boxing is different. Money line, money line, money line, money line. You know what I mean? Look, right here,
that shit with other sports too, though.
My man did a bet. Where he's at? Where you at? Something like.
What was the bet?
Jay the Truth. He did a. Raymond Ford, he got a good betting site, which I won't say. Raymond Ford decision, parlayed with McCaskill decision, which he might lose. See, that's why I don't like parlays with decisions unless you're sure of the outcome. Because Jessica might get massage, in my opinion. But
very well, man.
But Akhmadaliyev Moneyline, which he should go backwards there. He should put Jessica Moneyline and Akhmadaliyev Knockout. You tripping hardcore. Then you got Jesse Knockout. That's his 14 parlay. I just think it's different in boxing. Let me see my poll, because how many people know Danny's fights? I don't know these fighters. This is what I'm saying, bro. You got me betting money on dudes we don't know.
Who?
The world don't know him. Our poll says Mark Anthony Briaga, Jonathan Gonzalez. I don't know these fighters.
You should put a dog parlay. Just like
what's
five,
that mean?
$5 on just like three dogs, three underdogs.
Nah. That don't happen. See, that don't happen in boxing. Like, you could be an underdog winner this week, but three people that are underdogs, that's tough to do. Super tough to do.
Is it overseas, this card?
No, there's cards all over the world. Boxing's
right.
Global, so, you know, we can bet on France, you know, cards that are happening in France. Or the UK, or right here in America, and still parlay them, but it's still hard.
Maybe you talk
right,
one
so Jonathan dog. Gibbs, I might have to take Gibbs out. I don't know Gibbs. And we still at 72. This is how good the parlay is. We still at plus 72 with Jonathan Gonzalez, McCaskill, and Rungsvia, and Bam, all money line. We still at 72, which is still good money. But we need one more. We need one fourth fight to help the parlay over the $100 mark.
Bro, I really wish I could see. Can you zoom in? Like, cover the... Thank you. Nah.
These lines are crazy, though. I see the problem you're having. There's nothing close.
No.
Is there a favorite that's not minus 1,000 or better?
Right. I'm looking for like a plus 125 or something.
It's boxing. This is what I'm saying.
See, the thing is,
they need to make these fights closer so that it is. This is the indication of where our sport is. Heavy fit. This is your close fight, dudes we never heard of. Who the fuck is Mateo Singani? I don't even know these dudes. I don't want to look up these fucking guys. I can't bet a guy on dudes I never heard of. Can't make a bet on that shit. Look at this guy. Where is he from?
Look on his boxer.
He's got some sort of fucking European belt.
Italy.
Look at this fucking 30, five losses and three draws. How do you make a bet on this guy? Wow, he's been winning for a minute, though.
Yeah.
Since 17.
What about the guy he's fucking, though? What's his story? What's his record?
Two losses. He looks younger in his boxer pick. He's from France. He's 6 feet tall.
Scroll down.
But he's coming off a loss to Michael Soro. Soro knocked him out in five in France, where Soro's from.
That was 2019, and he's only had one fight since.
And he's fought this guy, Jeremy, twice already.
Mm. So who's plus money in this fight?
Scott, which is the dude that lost twice to Jeremy. Actually fought Jeremy twice.
So the front guy.
But he did lose to Soro, who has more experience. Let's see. Guy, his losses are to Bandamura. Nothing.
Mm.
Nothing. 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 Yeah, I mean, this is where we're at, that we have to pick who lost to the better fighter.
Who lost to the
You best. Know, I can't bet with that.
Nah, for sure.
Let me see, man. Moving on here. Would they give me the under? The 9.5.
Let's try it.
Oh, they let me get that off.
Yes, that's what it needs.
No, it don't. It says, what is this? It is in there, but what is that? See that? Odds updated, except minus 110. Well, what did I get him at?
115. So it's gone. It helps.
Huh.
There you go. Just click accept.
Ronnie Rios.
That's the bet right there.
Now,
something. How tough is Rios?
Mike Wilkins with a follow super chat. Said,
he's got knocked out twice.
He said, only seen Ringwalk's boy fight twice. So TKO lost in a split decision
who?
Win.
Who, Gonzalez?
I think that's who you're talking about.
Jesus!
I said, that's my boy.
Man. Yo, so Rios, fucking box truck with the god darn guys. Rios has lost to Art Ovenesian by knockout. That's insane that dude knocked him out. And then he went 12 with Vargas, who's fighting Mark Marciago in Magnifico coming up here. Yeah,
what's
man.
Ray Vargas, what's Ray Vargas' knockout percentage? Click on it. You passed him up. Right there.
62? Mm. Yo, why he looks like... what's the name of that movie? What's the name of that series? Oh, Narcos. Remember Narcos? The dude?
Never seen it.
Oh, my God. It's been dude. Terrible.
Like, I know it's on Netflix and shit, but I ain't never seen it.
Terrible. So, okay. That shit really boosted things up, putting Moradon
okay,
at 9 and a half.
So now that we know that it let you do the over-under, what's the over-under for Jessica's fight?
Oof.
Because I think I got an idea on that one, depending on, I got to see.
Jessica's over under is 8.5. She ain't going to do it. We can't go to under, bro. She ain't going to do it, like, under. You know what I'm saying? We got to just let her do it. What round
no,
is she going to ask knockout?
And those aren't good. Those aren't good odds anyway. Like, those aren't. Or what's the under? Is that +3?
No, it is good odds for us, but that's. Because I got her at knockout at a 335, so it's better to just pick her by knockout. I made a single bet right here at 350. Look, where is that at? We have,
but I'm saying...
Look, I already got Akhmadeliev wins in round 8. I also picked him...
Yeah, so you just bet in like any round?
7, and I also picked him in 6.
Okay.
$2 each round. 2 makes me 20 plus my 2 back. 22 twos, Jay-Z style. You feel me?
Do that.
6, 7, 8. I think my man Rio says, Mike, Mike. You know what I'm saying? He let Art Ovenesia knock him out in what, 5? Let me go back to that. This is not him. This is him. Ray Vargas. Go backwards once to Rios. Rios got knocked out by Art. Where's Art? Ovenesian right here in 6, bro. And Art ain't no motherfucking, he ain't no motherfucking Olympian unified champion that gives you angles a la Loma. Papi, we getting that money.
Mm.
So then I got McCaskill Killer, 350 right there, straight bet. $5 makes me 17 on a knockout. Like I said yesterday, I seen Jessica McCaskill's but
zooming in, yeah.
I seen Jessica McCaskill's her opponent sparring this week, and I'm sorry, I gotta pick him against him. Okay, this is what we need. So these are my bets I've already made. Still trying to make. I'm on some gambling shit.
Mm.
Going heavy on Moradon, as you can see. Then we got the one on McCaskill, but I got to put this parlay in. So we go to bet slip. We got good money now. Now we got some good money in this parlay with Jesse to get the money line win. McCaskill get the money line win. Jonathan get the money line win, and then Moradon get the over under at, I mean, get the under at 9.5. That really boosted it, but now the risk is greater because you're making Moradon have to win by knockout. So you got to decrease the money you're putting down. So no longer will I put that 150 all in. I still rather do the All In. Honestly, I'd rather be no Morodan under 9.5. I'd rather just pick a Morodan money line or something else. That dude Gibbs was giving good money. But with this one, let's see what $2 gives me. $2 makes me 4.5, so that ain't shit. 5 gets us 11. That ain't shit. That's why, you see, when you got this plus 200, you got to bet a little more money, like that 50. See, now you made 114, so it's like 50 gets you double your money plus your money back. That smells about
and
right.
And you're back to your limit, or you're getting, we're getting close.
No, we knocked off. If we win that $50 bet, we knocked off the Jamel Herron loss.
Boom.
Plus made $2.21. But to bet 50 on Morodan getting a stoppage under 9.5, I don't think that's risky, man. I wonder, should I just, let me see how that is on a straight bet. Morodan. Oh, straight bets. Give me straight.
Nuts, I'm thinking about maybe.
Here we go. Wait. Watch this. Let's see this. You got Morodan on a straight bet under. Fuck all those dudes we don't know, like Jonathan Danny's boy. Drop 100 on 100. You make a 90 for the over-under. Mm. On the under.
On the under?
You know he getting it. Rios got stopped by Art. When the last time Rios fought, man? Negrete took him 10, and that was in February. My man ain't fighting again. Man, God, cables.
There we go.
Cables, bro. He ain't fought in a year. I think we should just one bet on under.
Do you think?
You scared?
No, I'm.
You scared, man?
I ain't tell you what I'm doing.
I'm ending that whack ass poll. We going to that poll. We about to. What time is it? Oh shit! I ain't put my watch. I can't live without my watch.
Mm.
Holy shit!
Ain't enough time. Is it?
7:04. But I need it for working out, bro. I'm a calories counter. Like if I ain't burn a certain amount of calories in a certain amount of time, that means I ain't do as good as yesterday. So I need those numbers. It's crazy. But, all right, so we're going to do this bet. I mean, we're going to do this poll. We got to see what the people say.
What's the people saying, champ?
Danny, who were you searching, vacations or parlays?
No, I got this parlay.
I seen.
Took down his screen share so we couldn't do the emergency.
Trying to get slick?
He turned it back on now since he's making bets.
Yo, what's up with that?
Yeah, man, I think I might just throw in like a boxing fight this weekend.
You need to throw some money in your account, my friend.
I know. I just created the account.
Oh.
I just created it right now.
You ain't even used my link.
I did use the
BetTBV.
BetTBV.
Ooh.
And then even though I used it, the next line is like, how'd you hear about us? I clicked podcast and it said which one. I typed out the boxing words.
Ooh, child. Yeah.
I'm thinking, should I bet some golf this weekend?
What? Come on, man. It's a boxing show, bro. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Great odds.
Golf.
Pick one or two a week. Toss $5 on them. $5 to win you 300, 400. The odds are nuts, dude.
Why?
Because there's 100 people in a tournament, and they're all really good.
Oh, so then you're betting on one man to win.
Yeah.
Corny.
So what you got, cuz? Hold on, let's see.
I'm still trying to get shit done. I want from the people on the poll.
Bro, this dude is a minus 10,000.
Who?
Some guy, Adam Mazin. I guess he fits this weekend. Never heard of him. So
the dude's 10,000.
No, the other dude.
Damn, the line
plus 1,400.
Right. They never give you plus 10,000. Yeah. So I was gonna say, you know, just toss a dollar on it. Just toss a dollar.
I'm telling y'all.
What up, champ?
I think this is it. We playing games. I think it's Moradon under, bro, 9.5. Come on. Art Ovechkin's never been as good as him. He never even been a champ, let alone unified champ, let alone had the power and do it in the amount of fights this kid's done it. This kid did it in 8 fights, bro. Hurry up and vote on the poll. I want to know what you think. Ronnie Rios versus Akhmadaliev. 9.5 rounds or over 9.5 rounds or goes the decision? Let me know, because I'm about to lock it in. I'm locking it in without even hearing y'all votes, man. I'm telling you, we taking out the over because he ain't going over.
Who? Ronnie Rios?
Yeah.
You don't think so?
Rios making it past 8.5? Crazy. Tripping, pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa. You tripping, pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put Gibbs in. I'm going to put Gibbs in. We're going to do multiple parlays. We're going to put Gibbs in because he's going to give us more money, and we just going to lower the bet. So we'll do like a $2 bet with Gibbs, and Gibbs is a minus 500. Let me see what he is. We can't do decision. Let's see if they let us do decision with Gibbs. Oh, they let – it's certain people they don't let you do outcome with. When they know you too nice, when they know that person too nice, they're like, nah, you ain't getting a decision on that. But Gibbs is good money. Yo, you add Gibbs and you up there. So now, look, we got Gibbs. Let me zoom in. What's his name? Owe?
I'm not. Yeah, I don't know his name, champ. Right here, boom, boom, boom.
Corey Gibbs. Never heard of him, but we about to try and make him money. I ain't gonna bet a lot. I'm gonna let y'all know. We ain't betting a lot on this particular parlay, but we will see something here. So we got Gibbs by decision, Akhmadaliev at under 9.5 rounds at -110. Then I got Jonathan, Danny's boy, winning the decision. Then I got my girl, McCaskill, money line with Jesse Bam Rodriguez, also money line. Let me take out Jesse and see what they let me get. And I'm going to take out, no. Let me take out Jesse and see what they let me get off Jesse by knockout, since we got to play with it. Because you just never know what they're allowing and not allowing, right? We thought they wasn't allowing one thing, then all of a sudden, they ain't got. Damn you, my bookie! How do you not have method of outcome for Jesse?
That's where you got to put the under.
Does he do it under 10.5, though?
Or bet the over.
What? How many times rungs this out been knocked out?
Only twice early in his career, though.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking of doing the over. What's the over paying?
-280.
Yeah, so better odds than -540.
And they let me parlay it.
Yeah.
And they let me parlay it. And they let me parlay it. So what about, I don't want to ruin Jessica because I can't put that on her. I don't think she could do it within a certain amount of times. You just got to let her do it.
So what you think, Akhmadaliev, what you think?
Yeah, Akhmadaliev I'm doing for sure. At 9.5 under. Kit Kat, I'm doing Bam at 10.5 over. Then I got your boy money line, McCaskill money line.
So you said Akhmadaliev is doing under? Okay, I had that.
So I'll start from the bottom. First one is Bam over 10.5 at a -280. Next one is my man Corey Gribbs, my brethren, with a decision at 335. Minus. After that, we got Akhmadaliev at a 9.5 under. After that, we got your boy Jonathan Gonzalez just making a money line at a -435. Catskill Killer money line at -555. That's it. That's a 5-team parlay, and it's really good money, so you don't have to bet a lot. So I'm going to start off with my normal $2, see what that look like. Two makes you seven. That ain't that bad, so we might jump straight to 10. Which makes us 38 plus basically 39. Mm. Basically 39. You know what I mean? Plus your 10 back. Plus your 10 back. So, you know, this is decent right here. Hey, Ibedia is a lot. Man, I watched her. You just saying that. I watched her. She ain't ready. She ain't fucking ready. Ain't no way she got ready for Catskill Killer in 2 weeks, bro, from when the last time I seen her. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. I'd hope not. $10
she said I'd hope not.
$10 makes me four times money. Should I be happy with that? If we put this hit on it, you know we be back in the green. Look, we make $388, but this is a hard parlay. I don't recommend anyone betting big money on this parlay.
Yeah, I got a pretty hard parlay that I need to decide what I need to do with.
You can't bet hard on. You can't bet high money on hard parlay. Those are twos, no, fives, and tens.
No, I was thinking $1. A dollar,
yeah, yeah,
$1
yeah, yeah,
would be
yeah, yeah.
7-2 on mine.
Yeah. Oh, you
must have
added something else. Some
yeah.
Other sport.
Yeah, I got some hockey and some.
Come on, man. You're fucking. This is pure boxing show.
I believe the Colorado Avalanche tonight at home. They're going to close out the stand-up, I believe so. I believe so.
What do you think, George?
On hockey?
I don't watch that shit.
I the Avalanche, they are very, very good. So for all the like sports lovers out there, they are the most athletic hockey team I think I've ever seen. So good.
Damn, he got $1 and he gets 77. I got to bet 20 on my parlay.
But,
77.
So watch this. But I'm also betting the White Sox money line, and I'm betting Tampa Bay money line. White Sox just got blown the fuck out last night, so I expect to cover on the money line. And Tampa Bay, they lost. But they lost last night by one, but they're going up against Pittsburgh, so I expect that to cover as well. Now I got Jessica on the under. I got Ben. Well, I bet that fight the under. I bet the over on the Ben fight, and I bet the under of 9.5 in the Akmadalia fight.
I don't know what you're talking about, Trav, about 135-pounder versus a 54-pounder. Is he trying to say that this girl used to be a 54-pounder? Because she don't fight like that, bro. I'm trying to tell you. I've watched her, man. She not built like that. She could get overwhelmed. I'm almost guaranteeing the fucking under, man. Straight lace. Look, Raquel Miller beat already in Canada. Isiela Cornejo, she got the win over Cornejo, Puerto Rico. Cornejo was big. That was in 2021, or March 2021.
Bro, she's never weighed in more than 156 for a fight. Never weighed in.
Wait, Zapata?
Look, she went to decision with...
Oh, shit, she did fight, huh?
She went to decision with the girl Jessica just stopped. So, now I know it's a little different, but, you know.
What about this? I still feel confident. She got this less than 50% knockout ratio. She's been fighting. Look at the level of opposition, bro. Maciela Cornejo and Raquel Miller are the biggest names. And granted, she got one and lost one, so you can't hate. You know, Raquel Miller is a WBA, some sort of champ.
Even Candy Wyatt. Candy Wyatt, she beat Candy Wyatt before Jessica beat her, if you want to, you know, get technical. So even the Candy Wyatt fight, like this one, Undisputed, and BoxRec still has it a two-star fight. That's crazy.
I mean, it's the opponent.
Mm-hmm.
So they got 44% as the votes come in.
Damn, so people think it's going the distance, or going the over at least, right?
Bro, listen, Trav. You better off calling in because you're saying she's a live dog. She will never beat McCaskill. He's trying to, like, read this. He's trying to make her out to be some bully because she's bigger. But it that's not her, bro. We watched her fight. That's not her. Like, she's not a bully. You know what I mean? She's going to get bullied. Based off your opinion, I would say bet the over, not the under, but do not bet the win. She's not winning. She's not beating McCaskill. I'm telling you right now. Once McCaskill gets in that pocket and starts letting him handle, you're going to watch how that girl looks like a deer in the headlights. You kidding me? No way.
But my man is still typing.
No, it's all good. He's supposed to. He said, you said that about Sandor, but I never watched Sandor. I never watched Sandor in person or on TV, bruh. You know what I'm saying? I got to watch this girl spar, but don't take
camp,
my advice.
In camp, in
don't
preparation.
Don't take my advice. Don't take my advice. You know what I'm saying? I'm betting the opposite way. I'm betting McCaskill by knockout. Something you don't do in women's boxing is what I've seen. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to bet that. All right, so somebody got a big parlay here. Jesus. Oh, no, these are bets made. These are bets made. Let me see. I'll put it up here. Do we got an 8 o'clock?
Yes, we do now.
Who's that?
Our 8 o'clock should be Momento Mark Chinook.
Oh.
Let me see. Okay.
All right. Well, he's going to be left behind. Don't hit him back anymore, please.
It just is what it is.
I love that guy, too. He's like an inspiration of mine.
Who,
I'm not even going to lie. Yeah, dude, he does all the local games out here, and me being a sports announcer, like, I look up to somebody like him, and I'm like, shit, that could be me one day. Like, I've always hit him up on IG and shit, so I was like, I'm looking forward to a...
Oh, shit. All right. We'll
fingers
stick around.
Hey, you know,
we'll stick around.
If it happens, it happens. I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Steven Butler versus Brandon Brewer. It's an old parlay or what? Yeah, this is a 10-team parlay.
That hit?
No.
Oh.
He making a 10-team parlay. So he's got Jesus Christ. Steven Butler versus Brandon Brewer. That happened already. Did he win that? He must have won it or he wouldn't be sending it. So that happened June 23rd. Jesus Christ, I feel naked without the watch. Mother
sucker.
That's
yesterday, bro. June 23rd yesterday.
No, so he hit that.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's got to wait for Jonathan to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, no, he made those bets for today. No, game date was yesterday. Game date for this.
Mark just replied, said parking.
Oh.
So shout out to Mark Chinook.
Shout out to, you know. All right, so I got... He got Jonathan. At least that makes me feel better. He picked Jonathan as well by win. Then you got Kit Kat. He picked Jesse, money line. Then he put Moradon, money line. And he picked Jessica, money line. And then, oh, wow, he picked Corey, money line. Wow, he went to Matt Mateo too? You tripping hardcore. Money line. Raymond Ford, money line.
That's
wow.
A lot of bets.
Bro, he's a gambler. He put 150 on that shit to win 1,000. That's a gambler. That's 10 teams got to win.
Yeah, see, if I put 150 on mine, I'll win 10,000.
Bro, but... Who's, which one of y'all more, because he picked all favorites, though. He picked all favorites. He might hit this shit.
I picked all favorites, but.
You added other football shit, yeah?
Yeah, still favorite, but just a bit tougher, because I only have, what, one money line? The rest is method of victory. Like, I got the Sox covering the spread, Tampa to cover. I got Jessica on the under. Aquamedalia on the under, and then Bam on the over. So it's definitely a lot. Most definitely a lot. But those of you just joining us, shout out to the common tax collector. Welcome to the contender level on YouTube.
Shout out.
Champ becoming a YouTube member. For those of you tuned in right now to youtube.com/boxing, make sure you are subscribed. Make sure you have liked this video. Make sure... You're fucking tuned in to the best boxing podcast ever.
Yeah. Back to my bet then. I don't know how much to put on it, man. Hey, Dominique. What up?
Hello, Miss Paramore. Well, no.
I don't know. She's probably changed now. She's got married.
Fuck, damn.
Careful, fam. What you doing, Vance?
I don't know. Bro, I can't find Dominic
Gonzalez. I need another fighter in here. This ain't enough money, bro. 20 don't make me enough. I need 20 to make me rich.
He said I need 20 to make me rich.
20 got to make me rich, bruv. I'm just looking. I don't know. I can't put anything else. I could put Corey back in. I have to put Corey back in. My boy put Corey. I got to put Corey.
How many rounds is the Raymond 4 fight?
That's another one I got to put. Oh, shit. I already got Corey in.
Oof, 10-rounder.
No, he's fighting an undefeated fighter with some power. Yeah. A little bit of pop. Pop, pop, pop. But he was working with Core this fight.
He been working with Core, though. That's the thing. He been working with Core for years. That's the thing. But like, I've been seeing him in camp with Core for some years. You know? I was thinking, damn, it's a 10-rounder, though.
All these fights they got.
Because I was thinking possibly even betting that fight just to go the distance.
Bro, who's Sam Eggington fighting? Lord, have mercy. And Eggington be losing. I can't believe he put him in a 10. Ooh, he fought an undefeated fighter and you put Eggington in there? Shit. My man about to lose that 150. I'm sorry.
Who?
I don't trust Eggington. Eggington getting beat up. I thought he retired anyway. He got 7 losses. He's on a 3-fight win streak. Oh, he beat Ashley Theophane in 2020. Get out of here. Close Molina. Which Molina is this? This better not be the Puerto Rican. Oh, my goodness. He beat the Mexican Carlos Molina in 2021. This man ain't since September. Eggington about to get bodied. Damn, champ. Why you put that in your parlay like that? He's wilding. Let me see something. This one, yes. This might be the upset special right here, bro. When last time this dude fought 2021-11? Ah, they basically been out for the same time. Eggington ain't fight since September, right?
Yo, people saying SSI with the upset. So Ramvisai.
Who?
So Ramvisai.
The upset.
Yeah, they're picking him.
Not tonight.
Upset. But it looks like we are joined.
Not tonight.
By the man that announces, it seems, every event that takes place in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah?
That's what it seems like, at least. Mr. Mark Chinook in the building. Very early. 8 in the morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. Good to be here.
This is.
That's you. Yes.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm up early.
You are up early.
Nah, thanks for having me on, guys. This is cool.
No, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, man. Used to watching you so much do all the Top Rank stuff.
I'm a kid in a candy shop with Top Rank. Yeah. You know, how can you not love what you do when you work for a company like Top Rank and all of the history there and just getting to know these guys, you know, all these incredible fighters that put all on the line when they walk into the ring. It's really not a job. It really is a passion. I'm lucky.
I'm glad you said it's not a job because I was going to ask, that is your only job that requires you to travel, correct?
I'm all over the place. Okay. But yeah, primarily on the road full-time with Top Rank. This summer is really busy for us. We've got 2 fights in July, 4 fights in August. I don't know if they've all been announced yet, but, you know, I get a calendar saying you're eventually going here, here, here.
Right, right, right.
We just had back-to-back weekends at the Garden at the Hulu Theater. We had Edgar Berlanga on Puerto Rico in New York City, which was pretty special. And then the big Joe Smith Jr. and Arthur Beterbiev Unification Weekend. So I've been in New York for about 12 days. It's good to be back in Vegas.
You didn't even come back. You just stayed
out. Yeah, I stayed right through because normally for a fight week, I'll travel on Wednesday.
Okay.
And I return home on Sunday. I host a press conference Thursday, weigh-ins Friday, fight Saturday, and come on home. So having back-to-back weekends in New York, it was nice. It gave me a couple extra days in the city and got to see some Broadway shows. The New York Rangers were in the playoffs at the time, caught a game, and anytime you can spend some time in New York, it's pretty cool.
I think Colorado closes it tonight?
I hope so. Yeah, I'm rooting for Colorado. I'd like to see the West win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I was right now. So Fridays, we typically do our betting show, so we'll talk about, you know, whatever fights are going on that weekend and some possible intriguing bets with those fights. So I was looking at it. I'm like, I think Colorado's going to close it at home tonight. So
yeah, if you're betting hockey, I think you got to go with the home team in Game 5. They don't want to go back to Tampa for Game 6. So, and they're so offensive minded, man. That team is so fast, and Tampa's going to have to put some pucks in the net to beat them, I think.
Wanted to ask you, from the outside looking in, I've always felt like wintertime, late fall, winter's probably the busiest for you, right? You're doing the Raiders, you're doing the Golden Knights. Year-round doing Top Rank, of course. And then you do other local things here in Vegas as well. Would you say that's about right? Would you say the fall winter is about the busiest for you with everything you got going?
Yeah, 100%. The NHL kicks back up. The NFL kicks back up. And, you know, you guys talk about all the time, our Top Rank schedule is upside down. So, but, you know, when you get the opportunity to work in sports, as you know, it is a job, man. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm spoiled. I get to walk into Allegiant Stadium on Sunday afternoons, and I'm inside the fortress at T-Mobile, 41 home games with the Golden Knights. I'm pretty blessed.
How did you get your start in sports? How did you get your start in entertainment, period?
Yeah, good question. I grew up in a small town in Canada, Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, home of the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, the Canadian Hockey League franchise, and like every kid in Canada, you want to play hockey and raise the Stanley Cup. My father was involved locally in that franchise. He bought the franchise from Phil and Tony Esposito in 1988.
Oh, wow.
And that franchise has been our family ever since. When the cards didn't line up the way they were supposed to, I actually ventured up to New York City and became a theater nerd, believe it or not. I was performing in plays and musicals all over the place. Lion King, Rock of Ages, and that's actually what brought me to Vegas. A show called Rock of Ages was at the Venetian, and I came out here as a performer. And when Bill Foley announced he wanted to start a hockey team, or at least go down the path to endeavor to be pro sports Vegas, he put together a committee called Vegas Wants Hockey. And this was before the Golden Knights were announced. It was just a mission to explore if we had a fan base. And so this committee responsibility was to sell season ticket packages to our friends and family for a team that didn't exist. So I'd call you on the phone. I'd be like, what's up? Give me $1,000 for what? NHL franchise. We won. We're not sure yet, but we were going to get one. So we sold about 14,000 season ticket deposits in over a month. And the rest is history. That, you know, the league granted Mr. Foley a franchise. The Vegas Golden Knights were born. And then their front office and creative team were put in place. I got hired as an in-arena host, doing a lot of bench interviews and hype stuff in the crowd at the games and, you know, helped create a cool environment and atmosphere. And registry, Top Rank Boxing, showed up to a hockey game in Vegas. And that's how I met Brad Jacobs, Todd DeBoof. And they said, hey, you want to come and work with us? And originally when I started with Top Rank, it was just do an interview here and there and helping hype the crowd. I had never, believe it or not, I'd never been to combat sports live before. I'd always been a pay-per-view guy, parties at the house, watching all the big fights, pay-per-view style. Because as a performer in Vegas, Saturday nights were always I was working. So I couldn't go to the fights, or I'd catch it after our show instead of going to T-Mobile or Grand Garden. And so when I first started working with Top Rank, they're like, hey, come and see what we do. And I didn't realize how much downtime there was in the arena between fights. Like some cat could get knocked out in the first round. And because of TV commitments, you could be sitting in that arena for 30 minutes doing nothing until you're on your phone.
Yeah, no, tell me about it.
So we just started putting together content for fans at Top Rank events. And then it evolved where I started hosting press conferences, hosting the weigh-ins. And I really didn't jump into the ring doing ring announcing until the Top Rank set up a bubble during the pandemic. And that's when I sort of got my feet wet in the ring. And I've been doing it now for about 3 years with Top Rank. And the Raiders, same thing.
How'd that happen?
Same thing.
Was that when I remember that Bob brought out, like, you know, basically the Raiders front office to be at one of the events, I think at the Virgin, maybe Shakur Lomachenko. Was that how they recruited you? Or?
Well, they've been to some hockey games as well. Okay. Prior to, I think everything started, you know, really, I got to thank the Vegas Golden Knights for giving me my first job in sports. A guy by the name of Johnny Greco, who's an incredible entertainment director, who's now with the Seattle Kraken. He works for the Rangers and the Knicks as well. Just an incredible guy, and I have the privilege to work under pretty cool people within the Golden Knights organization that have now gone on to do, you know, other things in sports with other franchises. But the Golden Knights are really the ones that gave me a start in sports. And, you know, like I said, it's sort of snowballed. And being able to work with Joe Tess and Timothy Bradley Jr., Andre Ward, Bernardo Osuna, Christina Poncher, like, these are some of the best, most knowledgeable, smart boxing people that I've been able to be around. And, you know, I listen to them in my ear every fight. Like, I know I'm just doing the ring announcing or the interviews and stuff, but I sit ringside and I have broadcast in my ear every fight. So, you know, just being able to listen to Andre Ward and Bradley break down a fight and what they're seeing is, it's just a clinic for me. So I'm so, you know, blessed to be around those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to them call those fights live in real time. I don't even see some of the stuff they see. I'm like, what the hell are they seeing? And they've just been so gracious, so supportive. And anytime I have questions or things answered, they're the first ones to come on by and help me out.
I got to ask you, out of the three sports that you're currently working in, before you start working, which one were you
I got to be careful.
Which one were you the least knowledgeable in, and which one did you watch the least of?
I think this might surprise you, it's football.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was Sunday football. Again, just...
I was expecting you to say boxing, yeah, because so many people get into the sport.
It's such a niche
and
sport.
And they're not, yeah, boxing fans. It's like, oh, no, I really didn't watch boxing until this.
Now, yeah, if you come to my spot, I've got a... I was a big Mike Tyson fan as a kid. You know, that was my childhood in high school. He was like the GOAT when I was in high school. So I think Tyson made boxing exciting and attractive for guys like me who weren't necessarily into the sport. I was living in Canada at the time. Boxing's not the biggest sport up in Canada. You know, we have some incredible fighters based up there. Obviously, Arthur Beterbiev trains and fights out of Montreal with a credible camp with Mark and his whole team up there. Yeah, I would say it was football, believe it or not. I love watching football just like everybody else on a Sunday, but in terms of knowledge of the sport, the positional play, what each guy does on the field, I think that's definitely come a long way since I've started working with the Raiders. But again, my job has always been on the entertainment side,
right,
making sure the fan has a really cool experience in addition to the products that they're seeing on the ice, the field, or in the ring. It's really changing the landscape of going to an event and making it something special, as opposed to just, we were talking about a few minutes ago, just being this, you know, downtime, 30 minutes between fights, or, you know, in between plays at Allegiant Stadium for football. And the same thing with hockey. When the minute that play stops, we come up with something cool to make sure the fans aren't just going right back to their phone and zoning out.
Now, obviously, Vegas being the entertainment capital of the U.S., I would say, you do have some help. I mean, you have a fucking nightclub at Allegiant Stadium, right? How is that preparation? Because it's like, you're not just entertaining a crowd. You're entertaining a crowd in Vegas.
Yep.
So I feel like the expectations are always higher. So how are you able to prepare for each event individually? Because I'm sure, you know, I've been to the games that, you know, the crowds at the Golden Knights games is not necessarily the crowds we get at Top Rank fights.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's a testament to the teams behind the scenes that are preparing all sorts of things for the environment. You know, hockey's a very fast sport. You know, it's exciting. Guys are getting knocked on their ass, and, you know, it's very high offense oriented right now, the way the game is set up with the elimination of the two line pass years ago. And it's just so fast. There's a whole team behind the scenes that people aren't aware of. You know, when you watch a movie or go see a show in a theater or something, there's weeks and months of preparation that go into that. And on same thing on sports, it's a show within a show. You're obviously buying tickets to go see the sport, see what's happening on the court or in the ring or on the ice. But behind the scenes, there's an entire team preparing everything that you see and hear on the screens, in the building, on the LED walls, the banners around the arena. There's just an incredible team of people going behind the scenes hard, full time. And it's nonstop, especially in boxing and in hockey, where there's literally a fight every weekend or every other weekend. And there's 41 home games. So just when you think, oh, that was great, there's a game 2 days from now, or another fight week starts on Monday or Tuesday. So The guys behind the scenes are just kicking ass, and they make my job easier because I'll roll in and I could have a script and my notes and cards in front of me, and it's a nice run of show.
Wow, they make the notes for you?
Yeah, hey, do you guys not get notes?
Nah, man.
I stopped giving them to them. Yeah.
No, it's funny you say that because before I even got into this world, I was fortunate to be on First Take back when Max was still on with Stephen A. And at the end, Max gave me a script. And it's not like word for word what he had to say. Damn, he had to take a certain side on this point.
Yeah. Mm.
And then, you know, I was like, wow, there's really like, shit was like 4 pages. I'm like, there's really like a lot of preparation that goes into these things. And I was asking you specifically about the fall and winter because, and how you plan for the event individually, because last year I was covering WNBA and I was like, it was, I want to say Wilder Fury 3 fight week, and then the Aces are like in the Western Conference championship, and it was I'm working like 16, 17 hour days, and I'm going from MGM here to Mandalay back. I'm like, holy hell. So I was curious. I'm like, obviously a lot to manage, and then you do things here locally as well, right? I know you do things over at the Space.
Yeah.
Talk about that, because I've heard of the Space plenty, never been. So talk, you know, just talk to us about things you do here outside of sports.
Yeah, for sure. So Space is it's a venue, an event center driven in entertainment. So bands, concerts, fashion shows, private parties. But it's the home to an organization that I started with my wife called Mondays Dark. And it goes back to the days when I was performing in Broadway shows. So that comes from the fact that Broadway shows, they're traditionally dark on Mondays. So what we would do is we'd get a band together, invite a bunch of headliners from the Strip, a bunch of different folks, and we'd all the money away to charity. So it takes place on Monday night, which is normally an off night for the entertainment community. And we would just pick a local charity based here in Las Vegas, put on a 90-minute variety show where anything can happen. It happens every other Monday, and that charity receives $10,000. We've done about 150-some-odd parties so far. We call them a party, even though it's a charity-driven thing. And we've raised $1.5 million. Keep going. We've got a wait list of about 300 charities. But the Space itself has become a pretty cool venue. It's right off the Strip behind the Aria and Cosmo. And we're open 3 to 5 nights a week with a different form of concert or event that the public can go to, or stuff that's just four-walled, bought out, rented for private parties. At the core of that facility, it's this nonprofit work and these charities that we're helping. So it's just our way of giving back to the community.
You married, Mark?
I am.
Oh, okay. How long?
It'll be, well, it was 10 years. It'll be, 10 years.
Okay.
You look at me like, oh, really?
Yeah, because you're like, it was.
I know, it just happened. Just happened.
Oh,
May
it
of
just
this
completed.
Year.
Oh, okay,
yeah, May of this year.
So where'd you guys meet?
We met in L.A. Doing, you know, the entertainment thing. We were both working on a show that was trying to get, you know, off the ground. And that's what you do as a starving artist. You know, you take whatever you can get. You help writers get their works created and heard. And we were doing a workshop of a play, believe it or not, And we met. We were working on the project for a couple weeks, and that's it. Rest of history. I call it a showman's never ended.
A showman's never ended.
How do you make it work? Obviously, Danny talked about the fact that you have to, you know, travel from state to state, all over the place. Has to, at one point, cause some sort of friction, right? Like, obviously, you know, your significant other learns to trust you, but, you know, being away from the home has to put a strain on things, or no?
Yeah, it does. We make the best of it, you know, and we're fortunate that most of our traveling with Top Rank is going to some pretty cool places. You know, if you're going to New York City for a few days, you know, she tags along or she doesn't. You know, I let her decide if she wants to come to a certain location or not. Like, not talking smack about Tulsa, Oklahoma, but, you know, I love the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tulsa. Not a bag of chips, so she doesn't come on that one. But New York City, she'll come to New York whenever we go to New York. We were just over in Scotland, you know, for the Josh Taylor.
Wow.
What are the chances of us getting the chance to go to Scotland together? Mm-hmm. And so we added a few days to the front end and to the back end, and we were able to enjoy Scotland. And we were fortunate to do that because we didn't have a fight the weekend before or the weekend after. So it just worked out. You know, had we've had another fight the following Saturday, we're getting out of Dodge quick. It's not like we're going to Pechanga in a couple of weeks, you know, and we can drive or fly. It's a trek. So it's like anything else, but she also gets it because, you know, we started out together. You know, we both started in the entertainment business with nothing. You know, it's not an easy career choice when somebody says, hey, I want to become an actor, director, stage manager, choreographer, hair and makeup, wardrobe, set designer. Any kind of career path in entertainment is really a choice. And most of the time, usually early on, it's a sacrifice. And because I think we started together with nothing and have made a career of it, there's a pretty cool understanding there. And we support each other. We make it work.
How long have you been in
this? It'll be 10 years, believe it or not, this October. So we were actually living in L.A. We got married in L.A. in May, 10 years ago. I moved out here on Halloween of 2012. And we started rehearsals the following for Rock of Ages, which was at the Venetian, and never left. I thought, I'm going to do 6 months to a year with this show. Absolutely fell in Las Vegas. Fell in love with Las Vegas, as you guys know. It's just an awesome place.
And
to
you
live.
Fell in love because of, I guess, the work opportunities, the networking possibilities, or was it Vegas itself that did it for you?
I think it was the community. You know, yeah. Like when I first got here, my vision of Vegas was pretty much what the rest of the country's was. You come in for 3 or 4 days, eat the best food, go hard, clubs, day pools, awesome resorts, go home. And, you know, obviously I was excited about that when I first got the gig. I'm like, oh man, I'm going to the Palazzo every day. That's pretty cool. But once I realized quality of life, your money goes a lot further out here with obviously no state tax. And coming from New York State, New York City, and California, those were my only two, you know, real living opportunities in the United States, having moved down from Canada 25 years ago. You know, I was spoiled in a sense that I got to live in Manhattan for almost 9 years, and I lived in L.A. for 8. Those are some pretty cool places to live, not cheap to live, you know, and when you get that same opportunity, same type of show, but in Las Vegas, you know, I live in Summerlin. It's a beautiful neighborhood. It's clean. People here are pretty friendly on the most part.
No, they are.
And the community supports each other, you know. It's like, I believe here there's a real true boundary where when the strip is going off and it's gangbusters and there's headliners here with all these amazing pro sports franchises here now, and we get 40 to 50 million people rolling through that airport every year, the city's buzzing. And most people, you know, they don't get the city, right? Like, they'll say to me when I first came out here, like, do you live at the Venetian? I'm like, no, man, I'm 20 minutes in any direction into a beautiful neighborhood, great housing communities and schools and malls and churches and restaurants.
Are you in Henderson?
He says Summerlin. Summerlin.
I'm in Summerlin.
Yeah, I'm on the west side. I love it, man.
So he just moved here. So
3 months
from where?
Jersey. Originally from Jersey. Then I went to Florida for a year. I thought, you know, all my life, I was putting into this microphone that I wanted to move to Florida. And then as soon as I got there, a year later, I got this opportunity to have my show in Vegas, which
it's
easier to get guys like you. You know, if I'm all the way in the boot, I won't have that many guests
technology.
In studio.
Come on. Yeah, not
yeah,
in
Zoom,
studio.
But it's not the same.
I agree
it's
with
not
you.
The same, you know.
This place is outstanding. You
and
know?
This,
awesome.
While I love it, our new building is amazing. You being here 12 years, I'm sure you heard of the Peter Lick building.
Yeah.
We bought that, so I just can't wait. We're already training there.
When are you going over there?
July, it should be. The studio's half done, so as soon as they're ready, we're in there.
We're already, like, working out of there because we have a private gym in there.
Private gym, private ring.
Fighters want to come. Yeah.
I got to come by.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me know when you're there. I'll just hang out in the
afternoon. Actually go every day. We try to go every day, you know, and it depends because the trainer leaves. Around 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. So if we can get there some days from 10 to 12 or 12 to 2 is usually the time.
Yeah, it just depends on the day. Like today.
Yeah, like today I want to go to the spa today.
We'll be done with the show and then we'll text like Frank, like, all right, Frank, who's at the top ring gym? We'll text Bones, like, all right, Bones, who's at the gym?
Mm-hmm.
So then
and
we'll.
Today, Bones is actually going to top rank. So we just one stop shop today.
Yeah, so, okay. You know, we'll go check out that sparring and then work out Thursdays. We do two shows, but no sparring across the city. So then it's like Thursdays we'll be like, all right, we work out early and then kind of, you know.
Yeah, we've been blessed to have the Madison or Paulie always available to us.
Yeah, so we've been able to work out kind of, but no, it's been great. Obviously, you know, it's not the same having a in-person versus a Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I said, you know, Devin came back from Australia. His first interview he does with Ariel Helwani, you know, and it was great. And I thought Devin coming back undisputed, like the whole storyline was great. Since the same seeing him on Ariel Helwani and then having him in studio, like, you know, it's just not the same. The energy, different, the vibe, yes. You know, and it was like.
And the numbers, you know, while Helwani has a bigger platform, we had the same amount of live viewers, if not more. Than he had, and it's because of the engagement. You know, when someone's in person, it's just more real. You know, so Summerlin, did you tell? I'm by Mesa Drive. Are you anywhere around there? Those are some beautiful homes you have there. Jesus,
I'm off the 215 in the town center area.
Okay, so he's
closer to the highway.
Spend a lot of time at City National Arena as well, so it's super convenient for me.
I know,
I'm right
He's more near the downtown Summerlin area, while you're like a little bit more on the outskirts. You're probably 10-12 minutes from where he's at. You know?
Yeah, I love those mountains. I wish I could afford it. Jesus, they definitely. It's just, you know, it's opened my appetite out here. There's some beautiful, beautiful scenery and homes. On that hill.
The entire valley here, man. There's, you know, even McDonald Highlands on the Henderson side. That pocket is absolutely gorgeous.
Those houses, because I live in Henderson.
Yeah.
Those houses up there are unfucking believable.
Insane.
I'm talking about before the Golden Knights got out here, there was maybe 4 or 5 houses up there, right? Maybe more, but there was a few houses up in the mountains down there in Henderson. Now, we went...
No, they're taking over the mountain. It's crazy. I'm
like,
shocked that there's no
activists. He keeps saying, how are they stealing the mountain? He's like, they're just taking it.
I see bulldozers on the mountain making roads. I'm like, bro,
what's going on?
Isn't some of this, like, reserved or protected?
Nah, we're in a valley. They can go up. They'll actually go up and over and back down the other side. Who knows? Jeez. De La Hoya just bought a house in Henderson.
$15 million.
Yeah, it's a beautiful house. There's a house right next door to that one that's used in Vegas a lot for private events. It was like a spec house.
Okay.
Hasn't sold yet, so a lot of people hold events up there. He bought the house right next door.
What?
Yeah.
So he bought the house
and the
next
house.
Door to the party house.
He said no more parties.
Much,
so,
no.
No, he bought the party house too. He said.
No.
He's saying he bought the house. The next
to the
party
house. He better buy the party house.
It's the worst thing. No, bro, he did it strategically. He ain't got. He's like, I ain't got to drive. I just got to walk.
I'm
gonna
walk
next door, and we have some fun, baby.
So I want to introduce my engineer George. He's a big fan. He almost got upset when he thought you weren't coming because you didn't answer.
Was.
I'm like, all right, well, if he's not answering,
what do you mean I didn't answer.
on Instagram?
Yeah, no, it was like maybe 5 minutes before you replied. We're like, oh, he hasn't answered yet. We're like, yo, we'll give him a little bit. If he doesn't show a reply, we'll just end the show, right? Because a lot of people, look, Mark, it's the West Coast. People don't want to wake up. They're our last interview of the day.
Look at
our first interview slot is 6:15 a.m.
No, I love it, though. Some people haven't been to bed yet.
Yeah, so the thing is, I've been doing this show over 10 years, but I'm originally from the East Coast, so I've been 9 to 12.
Yeah.
Now I transition. My audience is used to me. Like, they use me to work, so it's like I have to stick to the – and it works better for me. I'm up earlier.
Get more done.
Oh, absolutely.
100%. I get so – just the day before yesterday, he came to me to see, like, 7 houses. We did the show. We probably went to the gym. He's like, it's only 12 o'clock.
No, we literally did the show, went to, like, 4 or 5 house viewings, worked out, and I'm like, bro, it's only 12:30. I'm like, what the fuck are we going to do with the rest of the day?
So much done.
No, we're going to be actually going to your neck of the woods soon. I don't know if nothing's official. It's easier for me.
So what, Jersey or?
I think
Prudential. Yeah,
yeah, we'll go to
Prudential. Mark, come on. We've been hearing shit, Mark. You know, you've seen us.
Shakur?
We get information. Now, we heard that you guys were going out there, not for core, but I heard that they're taking a card out there. Now,
the Prudential.
Yeah, we were without Shakur. We were there, what were we there, a year and a half ago?
Yeah, but
we'll be back.
Who other than Shakur headline?
No, we go with Shakur.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's his turf, and you can't do Prudential without him. That kid is a legend.
So it is a homecoming. Because I just heard Prudential, and I'm like.
So, wait, he had 2 rumored opponents, Navarrete and someone else. Who was the other guy?
Well, I heard Navarrete fell off, right? 11th hour.
You're in the know. You're in the know. I'm going to sit over here and smile.
And hold on, because I don't know where we left off.
I wonder, it wouldn't be Joe Cordina, that's for sure. He's not gonna come over here with that fan base. But George, in the meantime, while he thinks of it, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah. So Mark, I've seen you for a long time here. And I just have a quick question. What is the quickest way to become an in-arena announcer? Would it be to be a part of like the behind the scenes team first? And then see how the inner workings go, and then they just hear your voice, and they're like, maybe this guy can do it, or what do you think the best plan of action is?
Well, from what I've gathered, and this was before, you know, I started getting involved in sports full-time, is, you know, obviously there's audition postings and job listings, right, on all of the major boards online. But I always think the best in-arena hosts, specifically for in-arena, are fans. That have the balls and the courage to get up in front of 16 to 80,000 people and just do what you do, and it's be a fan. I think anybody can eventually learn to read scripted content or advertising hits, which we're obliged to do to some of our sponsors. But I think what I love about what I do is I come at it as a fan first, and then sort of a reporter per se or a journalist second. And I think that's why what we do here in Vegas, especially with the Golden Knights, is so unique, is that the franchise, the team has trusted me to be a hockey fan, a kid from Sault Ste. Marie that grew up just loving the game, and being able to bring that or let that translate into that host position.
Right.
But in terms of getting into it, I just say keep your eyes on every team, every league, and just get reps, get experience. I'll be the first to say when Top Rank asked me to get in the ring and be a ring announcer, I was trash. I was awful. I was like, what the hell am I doing? You know, this isn't my bag of chips.
How long did it take you to find your voice? Like, obviously, there's so many iconic voices in the sport that have their iconic sayings, and you kind of have, like, a bit of range, right? So, but you still got to find something that works. But that works for you. How long did that take for you?
And what's your slogan? Everybody has their slogan.
Well, because I work exclusively for Top Rank, to answer your question first, we pulled something out of the archives, the This Is Boxing, This Is Top Rank, and This Is the Main Event. So really, that's not my tagline per se, but that's something that's very prominent for Top Rank now. And what's really great to see is we started doing that about 3 years ago, and it kind of something we found on old t-shirts and it was a part of the Top Rank culture well before I was there, but I think I was the first one to throw it in a delivery in the ring, and it's kind of stuck to now where it's there's a Instagram filter or whatever you call it. When you swipe up to add Top Rank to a story or something, it's there.
Oh, to use your audio.
Yeah, not the audio, but just the saying, this is boxing, this is Top Rank. I'd say it took me about a year to really get comfortable, but it was a quick comfortable because I was spoiled. I was in the bubble, and Top Rank, we were putting on cards on Tuesday nights and Thursday nights, if you guys remember, in the heart of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, we were the first real pro sport to go back to work, and so they put us up at MGM.
Beats them.
That's true. They had some fights at Apex too, so it was kind of the same. But from a consistent, you know, we were doing free Tuesday every Thursday, and it was incredible. You know, some of the cards weren't all that exciting, and it was a challenge for the matchmakers and and you know the people producing.
What do you think the challenge was more, finding people that were COVID free and could remain COVID free, or finding people to fit within the COVID budgets?
I think a little bit of both, and I think it was also finding real professionals who stayed in shape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw that where guys were coming in overweight. They really didn't have a full camp.
A lot of fighters don't like, and promoters saying, you're bound to this room. You could only go down to, you know.
To work out for 1 hour.
It was tough. It was not easy. But, you know, again, tip of the cap to everybody who pulled it off, because from an internal production standpoint, it truly was a bubble. We were all staying at MGM Grand. We had a reserve floor, private elevator up and down to that floor, Grand Conference Center. If you didn't have credentials, you weren't getting in. They built a gym on site. It was, you know, food and
even activities like games and, you know, I think there was like ping pong.
Oh, whatever.
You know, there's obviously things to do. I came in. I experienced two bubble fights at MGM, but it was like, the ladders, but one of them was like
loose.
One of them was Bud Kelbrook.
Yeah.
So you know, obviously they even had like limited invited guests that had to be tested.
By that fight, I think we had a couple hundred people sitting in the actual facility where the fight was.
And then fuck.
But
there was a fight before that I got to experience the bubble, but it wasn't like. You guys were done doing the two fights a week, and when you guys were doing those two fights a week, that's when it was just fight that because it was Tuesdays and Thursdays. Monday weigh-in, fight Tuesday. Wednesday weigh-in, fight Thursday.
It was insane. And I got a lot of reps. You know, going back to how long did it take you to get comfortable, I think I got more boxing, ring announcing reps in a 4 to 6 month period than most people do in a 3 to 4 year period because, like you just said, we had probably – 5 to 8 fights every Tuesday, every Thursday for a solid 3-4 months.
Right.
And that was just a lot of reps of getting the cadence and getting to know these guys and, you know where they're from and meeting their families and learning more about their stories. And that's when I really sort of had a crash course in boxing and truly fell in love with it. And not much the sport. I got to be honest. I didn't really fall in love with the sport. I fell in love with the people in the sport. And I think that's what made it so special for me is that, you know, I do have access to these guys in a way that most people don't. And, you know, give me hugs or come up and say, hey, man, I love the way you
announced
read my hometown, man. I've never heard my hometown like that. Thank you so much for giving it extra love. Or, you know, this is about them, really. You know, what I do is when I'm ring announcing, it's about those guys. You know, I think part of what we do is we get them pumped up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And boxing is a little bit more traditional than, you know, what Buffer does over at UFC. You know, he kills it, you know, and really gets the place going nutty. But the direction that I was given with ESPN and Top Rank is they wanted a little bit more traditional. Let me bring a little bit of flavor of who I am as Mark. Important. And again, I'm the first one to tell boxing fans, hey, I know when I first stepped into the ring, it was not a pretty sight. And, you know, I saw the comments on social, who the fuck is this guy? And where'd they find this?
How'd you deal with that?
You just deal with it. It's part of the job, you know, and I'm sure you guys sometimes get guys. Hell yeah.
Yeah, no, but I mean, and that's why I ask you because I'm like, fuck, I mean, bro, you're literally doing it like, at every level. Like, yeah. he's a boxing only guy. I follow everything.
Yeah.
I watch all sports. So I'm like, fuck. I mean, I've been admiring your work for a while. I'm like, damn. You know, I'm like, how does he do it with the travel? And then, you know, he brought relation, you know, obviously your relationship. Because he tells me, he's like, dude, how are you 25 in Vegas and you're single? I'm like, bro, it's like the worst place to date. And everywhere we go, he's like, you mean to tell me that's not a pretty girl right there? You mean to tell me you would, what about her? I'm like, oh, but like,
Vegas
no,
rookie.
Let me tell you,
Vegas
he, no, no, he's rookie. Been here 7 years. And the other day he's like, I've been to more places in Vegas since you moved here than I've had in the whole 7 years. But, he doesn't travel the city.
No, but see, here's the thing.
We've literally, especially House Hunting, he's seen parts of the city he's never been. I'll turn to him like, what do you think of this area? He's like, I've never been here. And I'm like, what?
No, so, I mean, I live in Henderson. He took me to a part in Henderson, Interstate 11. I'm like, I've never even touched this motherfucker. Like, I'm like, where are we going?
It's crazy, though. And to back him up a bit, this city has grown so fast in the last 5 years.
That was going
to
be one of my questions.
There's pockets I've never been to. You know, when I first got here, it was like 2 million. Now we're creeping up to like 3 million mm-hmm. population. And pockets that you never would have imagined being developed for homes. Like you just said, they're going up the mountain. Where my first house was when I came out here 10 years ago, we were kind of like the last little subdivision on the left. Up the hill and around the corner, and there's a new subdivision over. It's insane how fast this city's grown, and it's like what you're saying. It's pro sports moving out here. It's WNBA. It's NHL. It's NFL. It's the American Hockey League. You know the NBA's around the corner. You know MLB's around the corner.
Absolutely.
Without question, it's coming. We have some of the most premier facilities on the planet. Where I meet with the Golden Knights, Every hockey game where we have a team meeting, production meeting before we go out, it's in NBA locker room one.
Mm.
So when they built T-Mobile, they built it knowing the NHL was coming and the NBA. So when I go in to do a hockey game, I actually walk down the hallway, the Golden Knights locker room's over there, the visiting hockey team's over there, and then I walk into NBA locker room one. I'm not a big guy. You got to see these cubbies, man. I could stand on the bench and my head doesn't hit the shelf, but it's an epic locker room. Just waiting for an NBA franchise to show up here.
When I moved to Vegas, it's funny because I military brought me, right?
Yeah.
So I was given the choice that, like, you could go home for a week or you could go from Texas straight to Vegas. The reason I didn't come straight to Vegas was because it was May 2nd, 2015. So I was like, if I go straight to Vegas, I'm going to have to find somewhere to watch Mayweather Pacquiao. And my concern was that I wouldn't find somewhere to watch it because I wasn't 21. So I'm like, fuck. But when I got here, I was like, there was no pro sports.
Nothing.
There was boxing. And that's how this happened for me. I fell in love with boxing. There was no pro sports. And now it's crazy how they have so much going on. So you, in your mind, no question, we get an NBA team.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of time. It's the right ownership. And, like, come on, how sick would it be if LeBron James brings an NBA franchise to Las Vegas?
Floyd.
Who knows who's going to be involved? Listen, I'm going to just
say
this.
They asked Floyd about LeBron. He's like, well, we're working on some things.
Well, Floyd said he wants a team regardless of location. Yeah. LeBron said he wants one here in Vegas.
I think everybody who's had the opportunity to experience Las Vegas when pro athletes come out to Vegas, you know, Golden State was just here to celebrate the championship. Come on. The carpet is rolled out for mm-hmm. these guys, and they experience Vegas in a way that most don't have the ability to, you know, just because they're catered to, they're given everything they want. And that's Vegas. And there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that. That's what makes Vegas go. It's you come out here to forget about all your troubles and worries.
I got
that's what we want.
It's funny. Andre Ward Kovalev, too.
Right.
So the second one was the day before Father's Day, 2017. And so June 2017, Golden State had just won it. You know, they Cleveland, and it's Andre Ward.
Yeah.
The whole fucking team flew to celebrate in Vegas, and they're at the fight.
Yeah.
And they're at the fight because it's like, we're already coming to Vegas to celebrate. It's inevitable. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, and, you know, you just mentioned Andre Ward, and, you know, I got to give him a big shout-out, obviously, just put in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
But let me tell you, that guy is one of the nicest, most humble, down-to-earth guys that I've ever worked with in all of sports, not just boxing. And I mean that sincerely. Timothy Bradley, Andre Ward, Joe Tess, Bernardo Osuna, and Christina Poncher, being able to work with that group of people in this sport, that's it's unbelievable. Like I said, I'm spoiled. I get to work for the Raiders. I had to work for the Golden Knights. But that group, you know, obviously Joe Tessitore, who's a legend in the game, and he's, you know, guy's like been around forever, and he's not, you know, he's a young dude leading this crew. And when you mention Andre Ward, man, like, I don't think anybody has a bad thing to say about
that guy. Have you asked Ward why he's transitioned to so much Zoom? Or
not brought up. You know,
because he used to be there, and then seems like after the Shakur, not that is the reason, but it seems like after that he's been at the desk less and more in his home office.
Yeah, I don't know the reason behind that. You know, people speculate, and everybody has their reasons behind why he's not there. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not privy to that type of information. But
he just seems like he doesn't have to travel a lot. He's always been, from what, you know, he's allowed us to know, very family oriented, and you know, he brings his wife everywhere. So
I know I know he has a son too that is going to this football recruitment stage right now, so he's being scouted and recruited and whatnot. So I'm sure, man, like when you're a fighter and when you're traveling, and I could only imagine all you want is just to be able to relax a little bit and be at home and, you know, not have to travel as much.
Believe it or not, for me, I actually enjoy the traveling, because what it does is, like you guys, I got my hand in a lot of pots, right? I'm Raiders, Golden Knights, Top Rank Boxing, The Space, Monday's Dark. I'm involved with some small businesses out here, investing here and there. You know, I got my hustle on, just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm on the road with Top Rank, it's nice because I have a set schedule for fight week, and I'm not getting pulled in a million different directions when I'm in Vegas. Because when I'm home in Vegas for an extended period of time, I'm at the office, and there's three different offices. I could be with Raiders. I could be at The Space. I could be at City National with the Golden Knights. So I'm going, meetings, right, meetings. I'm on the road with Top Rank. What's nice is, like you just said, I can jump on Zoom from my room upstairs. I host a press conference for an hour and a half with the guys, make everything's ready for weigh-ins the following day. And then I rip off my suit, and I'm up at the desk in the hotel room getting work done at one set location. And then, you know, 5 o'clock hits. My boy Evan Korn from Top Rank, I'll hit him up. I'm like, where am I going for dinner tonight? And he's like, let's go. So him and I, Guardy, you know, the social team from Top Rank, really everybody behind the scenes at Top Rank are really great people. And so when we're on the road together, we have an awesome time. You know, Mikey Williams, hands down the best photographer in the sport right now. I get to hang out with that guy every day. It's birthday coming up in July. We're going to be at Pechanga. We're going to make sure we bring our clubs. We'll go hit them, you know. So, and we're terrible. We don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a way to enjoy our time on the road and turn our phones off for a little bit. So believe it or not, the Top Rank travel for me is something that I look forward to, just because it allows me to put the blinders on a little bit and not get pulled in so many different directions.
You guys going the morning after?
What's that, for golf?
Yeah, I mean, the Pechanga fight's on a Friday night.
It's a Friday fight, so I'll probably fly in Tuesday because it's a Friday fight. And we'll probably golf maybe Wednesday or Thursday. We'll kind of sneak around in there before or after the weigh-ins or press conference.
Okay, and then
because Sunday's usually let's get out of town. You know, we sleep in a little bit or not. When I'm on the East Coast, I don't go to bed. So, for example, you can't. After that Better B.F. Joe Smith Jr. fight, by the time it ended, it was almost 1 a.m. East Coast time. And sometimes during football season, I got to be back in Vegas for Sunday afternoon kickoff. So I'm not going to bed. I wake up, or we'll finish the fight 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, head back to the hotel, grab a quick bite, pack my bag. I'm usually heading to JFK by 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning.
So let me ask you this, because I know this was a big fight followed by a game. So Wilder Fury 3 next day was the Raiders and the Bears. So
yep.
You're for a 1 p.m. kickoff, you're at Allegiant Stadium at what time?
9:30, 10.
Three 3.5 hours before, and you left the team. Because I know I left the T-Mobile at like 1 a.m.
Yeah, I don't think I got
because
home
of the
night,
press conference.
30.
The
yeah.
press conference, you know, it was like, all right, you know, we got to wait for the press conference. And it's Tyson Fury, you know, him and shout out to Sugar Hill out there showing, you know, shirts off and whatnot. So, and by the time we were done, I left because I got kicked out. I'm like, shit, I'm working. I got to upload. You know, I left the T-Mobile because I was kicked out from the T-Mobile. But, damn, that's
you
crazy.
Used too much of their free data.
So, so I know because I catch those morning flights coming back from New York. They're leaving at 5:30, 6 a.m. You're getting back out here about 9 a.m.
Yeah.
So there's times where you're going, you're going from McCarran to
100%.
My guy. He's a real worker.
Yeah,
I'll
land at McCarran, and you know, I'll know. Like, let's say we're going to Florida. I think Kissimmee's a pretty popular spot for Top Rank, and you know, we're at the Garden a bunch. Like, we'll be at Prudential Center coming up as well. So, when I book my travel, you know, and again, Top Rank helps with that. You know, they got a great team behind the scenes. Shout out to Angie and Arlene in the travel department at Top Rank who take care of the fighters, their camps, employees. They're booking 200 hotel rooms, 200 flights every fight week, you know, and I'm just trying to make their life easy. So there's a form, we'll fill it out, what our preferred travel flights are. The times are always the key, but Sunday on the East Coast or Saturday night fight on the East Coast, I don't go to bed, you know, better be of Smith Jr. fight, win a couple rounds back at the hotel, grab a bite, quick shower, pack my bag. And I'm on the 6 a.m., usually 5 a.m. that I can be back in Vegas for, you know, kickoff at the stadium. And I'll pack my Raiders needs with me, travel it all the way. Or I'll leave it in my car, leave the car at the airport, and then, you know, get to Allegiant, refresh, regroup, who we playing, what's my schedule, where's my scripts, let's go. Monday's dark. You know, it goes back to that charity event. That's my day to sort of regroup. And I look forward to the fall, though, bro. We got an unbelievable season ahead for the Raiders and an incredible season ahead for the Golden Knights. And we've got some marquee fights, hopefully, this year. So sports this fall into early next year is going to be dope for Vegas, without a doubt.
Where do you see Vegas sports being in 5 years?
Off the chain. Like, no question. NBA, well, MLB. Come on, we're getting F1. We're going to have an F1 event.
It's funny. I shit you not. I was looking at tickets for that yesterday. I was like, I know when these tickets drop because when the fuck are we going to get F1 on the Vegas Strip again?
Hopefully every year.
Right. Hopefully.
Stop.
But it's like, it's something that you just, it's kind of like when I tell you like, yeah, Bob Arum promoted Evel Knievel jumping. It's like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, F1 on the Vegas Strip.
Yeah,
that's going to be badass.
If you can get a ticket to F1 next year, do it. If you know
if
nothing
you
about it, who cares? Just go talk about a life experience for the people who live here.
That's
and
what
people
it's about.
Who love that sport. Do you know how many people are going to be flying in for that event? It's like the NFL draft, man. The NFL draft setting up shop here. What, they 200,000 people came out for that, maybe even more. The casinos are jamming. All the rooms are booked. The restaurants are packed. F1, all of that, and then some.
Were you doing shit for the draft, too?
Yeah, I helped out a little bit with the league. Yeah, it was awesome. I was
so
on the Bellagio Fountain.
So you're doing shit for the draft while you're covering Valdez and Steven Sutton.
That was the busiest week for me in my career to this point. It was the NFL draft. We had a huge... You know, huge fight with Stevenson Valdez, and I was jumping between the Bellagio and MGM Grand, like literally hosting stuff for the draft on the Bellagio Fountains in a car out the back way, MGM Grand up the elevator, press conference with guys, back to the Bellagio. And so I basically lived on the Strip that week. That's when I can admit I got a hotel room and didn't leave the property, essentially.
No,
that weekend was fire for
that
me.
That happened to me. Actually, yeah, it was, Bud.
Yeah.
Bud Porter. Yeah, it was Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford and Sean Porter.
Sean Porter.
No. There was a fight at Mandalay where I was like, I remember I literally was covering a fight at Mandalay. I'm covering the aces, and then a buddy hits me up. He's like, yo, I need a guy tonight. Now, this buddy has hit me up for other photography gigs. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, no problem. Show up with my bag. He's like, I'll leave your bag. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, I need another guy for security. Mm-hmm. He has a security company. He has never called me to work security for him. But he knows that I'm military, so he was like, yo, I just needed a body.
Yeah,
needed a body, and ended up doing it for, it was the Latin Grammys. We're at Mandalay that thing. And I'm like, fuck it. I literally had three events I was working at Mandalay the same day. And I'm like, I need to get a room because
yeah.
I need some sleep because I was still working my Air Force job at night.
Yeah, so you get, you just, when it rains, it pours, and you count your lucky stars, and you just make sure you show up and go.
But you said the key word, I mean, when we started the interview, I think we couldn't understand more that when you do something you love, it's not really work.
Yeah. It's not work.
Man, we say it all the time. We're like...
All the time.
But also, you know that word work? I love that word. And I love to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. A lot of people, you know, criticize, like, why you work so much? Well, there are people on the planet who like to work. I love working, luckily, and I work on cool shit.
No, yeah. that's no question about it.
Yeah.
We were talking about earlier, somebody's like, what do you think I should do when our camera guy's like, what do you think I should do in this scenario? And I told him, I was like, you know, you always got to do what's best for you. When I was, when I started covering boxing, what was best for me was like, well, the Air Force is paying the bills and this is what's best for you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it got to the point where that wasn't what was best for me, and it was time for me to pursue it. I'm like, you just got to do what's best for you. But, dang.
Nah. Even getting up at 8, it doesn't matter. Like, we're
doing
the shit,
you know,
and we're talking about stuff you're passionate about.
Exactly.
And more importantly, knowledgeable about. You know, there's a lot of people out there who talk shit and really can't back it up with facts, right? And
that's
where when you went back to, well, how do you deal with the trolls on social and stuff. Most of the guys are coming from an ignorant place, right, where they don't really know all the facts. They don't really know how you got somewhere or your background and how you feel comfortable sitting at the desk and you're able to talk shop with the best of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know your facts, you know your stuff, right? And then that sort of translates into a silent confidence where – look, we're good. I got
mm-hmm.
you. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
that's how I deal with all.
He gave me my start in boxing. I said it at the start of the show. We met 4 years ago today. I had just been back from Afghanistan 24 hours, and he happened to be on vacation. And I had already been messaging him because, you know, he's been doing his thing. And we sit down at Peppermill. And before
legendary.
Before we left Peppermill, he had already put my credentials in for Liam Smith and Munguia. HBO boxing was still a thing. That was an HBO boxing fight. And I'm just like, damn, like, I've went from that to this, like, so quick. I feel like I just got started. And I'm like, I was asking, I'm like, because I've gotten negative comments. And I'm like, for me, my answer to the negative comments is like, just don't read comments at all.
Sure.
Like,
yeah, but you can't. You have to read.
You have to.
Because it's good to get some constructive criticism. 100%. You know, sometimes you are too biased, and I don't mean you. I mean myself. You know, or sometimes I did come off a certain way. And I look at all comments as a pickup. You know what I mean? But we got a ton of questions for you from the people. Info Joe is in California. He says, how did you get into the business to be a ring announcer? And what advice would you give someone like myself who's trying to do the same? I have a good voice, and I've done about 4 fight cards for the Boxing Voice. So we have we put on our own exhibition shows and amateur bouts, and he's called about 4 for us. But obviously, he wants to break in for real.
Man,
he's done a great job for us, by the way.
Then that's how you break in. You know what I mean? The guys who are putting on the events. Make sure they're happy and just keep doing it. It's reps. Like I said, I was blessed to be able to do so many reps in the ring during the bubble that I probably did more fights than most ring announcers do in 3 or 4 years, just in a 3-4 month span. So it's putting in the work, it's putting in the reps and finding your own voice. I think that's very challenging for a lot of people as they see certain people in positions. And I'm talking about across the board in entertainment. You know, actors see somebody do that part and they're like, well, I'm going to do the part exactly how he,
if you're replacing somebody in a long-running Broadway show, you see the guy do it,
right,
and you're coming in to replace him, you do it exactly like him. Well, you don't. Don't focus on anybody else. Just focus on yourself. Find your own voice. Just put in the reps. And then, you know, like you just said, this guy does a great job. Well, clearly he's already doing what he should be doing. If as the producer, as the promoter, you're not happy with his work, then he's doing the right thing. So yeah, that's my only advice to somebody who wants to break in. Just keep finding your own voice, being true to who you are, and get as many opportunities as you possibly can. So, you know, there are no rules in entertainment anymore. You know, the technology and all of these various platforms. Back in the day, you had to have an agent. You had to have the agent call the producer. Mm-hmm. You couldn't talk to people directly.
Exactly.
Now with like Insta, LinkedIn, Twitter, yep, you can get in touch with anybody just by, you know, slipping into the DMs, yep, as they say. You,
well,
know.
You know the things.
Yeah. Listen, it's not the end-all, be-all, but if you have reps and experience to back it up, people then can look at your stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like it's you got to put it on a tape. You put it in a FedEx and mail it off. It's literally right there.
Right.
Make sure how you're represented. Another key point too. Make sure if you're talent, make sure you're represented properly online.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put shit out there. If you don't think it's good, don't put it out there. You know, get feedback from guys like yourselves. Say, hey, what do you think of this? Mm-hmm. Should I share this? Should I put that out there? Because if it sucks, don't put it out there.
So we think about the whole, you know, it's good to see, you know, how far you came and, you know, to put that stuff out there to be able to learn from it and be it. You're like, nah, fuck that. Put the best product out there you possibly can.
I think
can.
If you're looking for work and you're trying to break in, make sure it's the best product possible. Represent yourself in a true high professional fashion and just reps the work. If you want to do it, you'll eventually do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say no opportunity comes to anyone. You know, you got to go out there and find it.
Mm-hmm.
He's done about 4 cards with us. I would put that on an Instagram reel.
Yeah.
You know, get some graphic imagery. And then, like you said, DM. There's plenty of small local promoters that don't even have a ring announcer because they can't afford it. Maybe you get on,
yep,
as a, you know, volunteer or intern first, and then they start to value what it is that you do and bring. I got Mr. Adore here that says, what gives you a bigger announcing rush, boxing or the gladiator games? You do a great job with both. Stay blessed.
The golden games.
Yeah. I would say boxing, even though it's most of the time I'm in a smaller crowd, 65,000 at the Raiders games and 18,000 at the Golden Knights games. I'm very passionate about hockey. Like, that's not that – I'm not going to, you know, not – that one. I love the sport of hockey. I think hockey fans are incredibly passionate. But there's something about being in the center of a ring, introducing two fighters who are about to risk everything they have, including their lives. Like, let's not sugarcoat what they do.
Right.
You know, they get into the ring knowing that they may not step out of that ring. You know, so right there, privileged and humbled to be a part of that. And boxing fans know what's at stake. They get into it, and again, I don't really have to do much to get boxing fans going in an arena. They're right there with us from the ring walk right to the introduction, and I get a huge rush in the ring. That last one with Better BM Joe Jr. at the Hulu Theater, mecca of boxing, even though we were in a small room at MSG, anytime you're throwing a title fight up at MSG, it's a special, special night, and that place was going off. So biggest rush, boxing by far.
Mm. Still a few more before we get you out of here. We got Brandon in Houston that says, how did you decide to say Shakur Stevenson's name that the way have? Like, he meant the way you have. You shortened the sh and hold the cur portion for a while. I look forward to hearing that when he fights. Keep up the great work.
Awesome.
Brandon.
That core is strong when you say it. Because as soon as you continue to read, I was like, I'm hearing you say it.
You know, I didn't plan that. You know, I'm in the moment. I really am. And that's the honest truth. You guys might not believe me. Like, I don't really sit there overthinking it and overanalyzing it. I think Brick Cities were important to his introduction. You know, and really... given props to where he's from. It's very important to
Absolutely.
Him. And I think, Top Rank allows me the opportunity to get pretty close to these guys and, you know, listen to their needs and wants. I think he's a very, very special fighter, special person. And I'm excited to be on the journey with him. But to answer the question specifically, I this is the first time hearing that. So it's cool that the way I say his name is resonating with people. I think he's got one of the best names in all of sports, you know, and he's a rock star. So whatever I can do to, you know, give him as much love as possible, I'm going to do it. So I'm going to go back and listen to it because, again, that shows you how badass boxing fans are, mm-hmm. right? When they can send in a question like that to break down exactly how I said his name, that's badass. So thank you for that.
James Valdez from San Antonio says, what's an embarrassing moment in your career that you would share with us? Thanks for coming on the show.
Cool. Obviously, back in my performing days when I was on Broadway shows, just throwing up lyrics to songs that everybody knows. Rock of Ages, for example. All 80s hits, REO Speedwagon, Styx, Journey, you know, iconic 80s tunes. And when you mess up the lyrics, everybody knows, but, you know, you just keep going.
Well, what fuck-ups have you had in sports?
Boxing specifically, introducing fighters from the wrong cities, fucking up their names, you know, and that's back to the bubble days, right? Not understanding the preparation and work needed to go into it. And, you know, I was so nervous and so new to the sport that I was like, what the hell am I doing? And especially for the fighters not from the United States, you know, really doing a deep dive where these guys are from.
Absolutely.
And just making sure you pronounce everything accurately.
Yeah,
butcher everyone's name.
Oh, he's terrible. We had some fights that we had the rights to that were being streamed on ESPN in Mexico, and we had the Mexican here. Man, every freaking card, it was like no information. So we got to like dig deep.
And it was a lot of information. It was just too much.
No, it was.
They were given booklets.
Yeah,
but how much of that was really fight related? There, out of that, there might be one line per fighter. And even still, like the footage, how much footage did
that's what we couldn't find. Yeah, but they gave us too much to read.
But that's what I'm saying. Like we would try to go find footage. We can't even tell the public what style this guy has. So
what I really hated was that everybody email was something that you couldn't copy and paste. You know, so if you send me a bout sheet, I would just rather open it as a PDF and copy and search Google. Like, I don't even have to literally pick it up and copy with a Mac. It's just highlight it, search with Google. Now I'm already on the man's box rec. You can't even do that. They made it so hard to work. Those fights were fun, though.
Oh, well, would you look at that? Corey Stevenson to defend his junior lightweight belt September 23rd. Again,
that's so funny because
Robson Contio closing in on deal.
It's so
Mike
funny.
Coppinger.
I was gonna say 11 minutes ago. I had it pulled up. It's the 23rd. That
in New Jersey.
Provincial.
I just hope he's still gonna come to Vegas the whole camp because now it doesn't make sense.
I mean, he held camp in Vegas for the Jamel fight that was in Atlanta. He's been doing
Atlanta and Newark is different. He could.
I mean, they're both on the East Coast.
His grandfather got a gym in North.
Yeah.
They might take it back to the roots.
Yeah, and his whole family lives in Houston. Like, I don't know. They might take it back to the roots. I don't know.
Hey, we
got to
give a shout-out to Frank over at the Top Rank Gym.
Yes.
Because he's dialed
the new hot
in
spot.
Over there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous in there now. They've done a lot of work, and it's watching spar and train over there now. It's been big transition. So Frank's kicking butt at the gym.
He's even gone as far as the wall decor.
He put our face on the wall. Shout out to Frank.
I was wondering if you're gonna bring that up.
Yeah,
shout out to Frank.
No, definitely doing great.
I got Dom in Seattle that says, "What's the most craziest crowd you had to announce at for a fight for Top Rank?"
Ooh,
it's craziest,
Dibble, baby.
Craziest crowd.
I'd say the fight we just did in Scotland, the Josh Taylor,
Catterall
fight. Those boxing fans are something else over there.
Yeah.
And, listen, passion, right? Everybody comes in there and they know what they're walking into. They know the two guys are just about to go at it. And it was an unbelievable environment. I think it was 13,000 in the the OVO Hydro is what they call the venue over there. It's
in Glasgow, yeah.
Yeah, oh man, it was awesome. And just leading up to the main event, the energy and the build, like the DJ knew exactly what songs to play. And obviously, you get the Sweet Caroline and a few other traditional ones, but they had some songs that were local
to
Scotland. And man, it was awesome. So that would be by far my greatest experience with a Top Rank card, from just announcing in front of those 13,000 that were just screaming, and I couldn't hear anything. I had to put both earpieces in. I normally just wear one, but it was that loud. I had to put both in, so it was insane.
So I have a few more. Hopefully you got time.
I got one for you that what sporting event is it a goal of yours to call that, I mean, you've yet to call, but something that is like, all right, once I call this, I know.
I think I'd like to be a part of a franchise that wins a championship. You know, obviously that's in boxing, you know, it's not about Top Rank winning the belt, right? It's about their fighters winning the belt.
Right.
But in pro football and pro hockey, what we do as an entertainment team and host crew is part of the experience, right? And so we're enabling our players to do better. You know, we create an environment, home field advantage, that home ice advantage. Part of our job as the entertainment team to make sure that people don't want to come to Vegas and play here. And by people, I mean the other teams. They want to come to Vegas. It needs to be intimidating. I don't want to go to Allegiant Stadium and play the Raiders and get our ass kicked. I don't want to go to the Fortress and play the Golden Knights. It's loud and crazy. We're going to get our ass kicked. That's part of my job. And, you know, with that comes the opportunity to help these guys win. And I think that's when I think, you know, I look like some of my colleagues. I got a good buddy who's a host for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Won two back-to-back Stanley Cups and has the chance to win a third one. I'm going to get a third one. Sorry, Greg. But, you know, I think that's why a lot of people do stay with teams for such a long time, is they're chasing a ring as well. You know, they want to win a championship. They want to help their boys win it all. So, and I know some of my buddies who work over at the Aces right now. You know, I'm so happy for them. It looks like these girls could win it all this year. They are playing lights out. Like, if you haven't been to an Aces game in Vegas.
I tell people all the time that my first Aces game was by far the most surprising experience I have probably experienced as a sport fan. I had the time of my life, first WNBA game ever, and they really make sure to make it entertaining, and it shows. And why the Aces were the highest attendance last year in the WNBA, because they make it fun for everybody in attendance.
Yeah.
So super affordable. And even if you go all out, you truly get a VIP treatment. I love it.
And the Aces are the cream of the crop in the WNBA. And we're, again, I don't think they get enough credit here locally, because they're a little overshadowed by the Raiders and the Golden Knights. But talk about an incredible franchise run by incredible people, and the women on the team are true, true professionals and incredible athletes and the nicest people. So again, you know, if you can, if you live in Vegas or if you're coming out for a weekend and there's an Aces game on, catch it. Because I think, like what you just said, it's the best in the WNBA, not only just from the product on the court with the talent, but the atmosphere and the environment. It's the best in the league.
And I mean, as a fan, there's not going to be a more star than Las Vegas. This is literally people come in here. I mean, the summer league is here, so you have so many NBA players, you know, supporting the ladies out there. First WNBA game I covered, I got me Shaq.
He's sitting courtside.
You know,
I almost said ringside. He's sitting right there courtside.
Sitting courtside. Yeah. So, Dwayne Wade, you know, it's great. It's great. But Mark, we've had you over
because you took their time. And I'm coming in. They're just still here.
Okay. Uh-oh.
I got actually, let me let you hear this. Shout out to my producer.
All right. All right.
That's a good call.
That's a good one.
That's a good call.
I'll
right
take
there
that. Yeah. Good job, bro. Where'd you pull that up? YouTube?
No, that was Brandon.
That wasn't me. I
Brandon
did find on you. I had it ready. It's so
oh, you
funny
did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, wow.
Play that again. Let me hear it one more time.
Go ahead. Let me see how yours sounds.
I had him even with the brick sitting in there.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, let's get that. Let's get that.
Newark, New Jersey.
I just missed it.
Stevenson!
Look, they're booing him, too.
Man, that was crazy.
They're booing him.
They're
wow.
Not, they're not booing at Prudential Center. That place is
how do you determine? Obviously, you're talking about the Josh Taylor Scotland experience.
Bro. Stop being greedy. We got all these people,
well,
man. You
yeah
want them for an hour.
Yeah, I got a lot of great questions
coming from Houston.
Coming to mind.
They,
Houston's up.
Actually, this is our producer in Houston. We need this one. He says, can we get a this is boxing and this is the boxing voice? Voice of the – no, excuse me. He says, this is boxing and this is the voice of the people in your best ring announcer voice to use as an audio drop to open our show with.
Yeah, let's do
this
it. We'll
is
do it after.
All right, beautiful. All right.
This is box. Wait, you want this?
He
is
says
boxing?
This is boxing, and this is the voice of the people.
Voice of the people.
So our slogan is the boxing voice, the voice
this
of the people.
This is boxing, and this is the voice of the people.
So this is what I got Mike Ruffer to do. Everybody's like, how'd
oh,
you
shit
do that? Oh, my God, how'd you get that? Did he charge you?
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for boxing voice.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. I'll do something like that after. Let's, we'll do
yo,
it.
Yo, how long ago was that?
Years.
Because I remember
years.
You.
I was so shocked because, like, when I asked him, he said he listened. And Max came in. So this was HBO days. And I couldn't believe it. You know, back then, I'm like, get out of here. But, you know, Brian Campbell, when I first met Brian Campbell, he's like, bro, I listen to your show from Bristol to New York all the time. I'm like, get out of here. No fucking way. So, you know, it's always good. We got Big Casual that says, with you working with Top Rank, do you think we get Better Beef versus Bibble for Undisputed in the next year? Hashtag Undisputed Era.
I hope so. I'll do everything I can walking the hallways at the Top Rank office to let them know how I feel. But I think, it's known that that's the fight that everybody wants to have made. And, who doesn't want to see those guys go at it, man? Thudding punches. They're just animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope so. Yeah. I got no say in the matter, but everybody
I've been
it
pushing for that fight, but
everybody
I've been,
has.
I've
man
been pushing
yeah
for it. Look, I hope it's in the Middle East. I really do. I think that obviously
it's not going to happen. Top Rank doesn't really have any ties to Middle East. That's Eddie's thing. If they don't come together, well, you're right. Bibble's with Eddie. Mm-hmm. Bibble's with Eddie. Okay. Because he believes they're both Muslim. I'm not sure about Bivol, but I'm sure about Better Beef.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like 99% certain that Bivol's Muslim.
I want to have it here, just from a selfish standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd love to have it in the United States. Again, you could have that fight anywhere, you know, but I think it plays at the Garden. It plays here at MGM Grand or T-Mobile. And then, like you said, it could be overseas.
Three more and I'll get you out of here.
Let's do it.
You were ringside for Josue Vargas versus Dakota Linger, which I told you guys Dakota was going to – I didn't say he was going to beat, but I told him be careful because we've been seeing Linger through the bubble just be this dog and get robbed too. But anyway, he says, which was obviously bad. Was that the toughest stop you've witnessed? If not, which was?
Good question. I've witnessed some amazing stoppages. Got to bring up Valdez and Burchelt, you know, that was just performance from Oscar. So I think that was a pretty incredible stoppage. And then what was the, Josue, I felt bad for Josue. He's a good kid. And I think, you know, again, once you get your bang like that, it's hard to come back. And now to have it happen twice, you know, I just needs to take some time and regroup and do what's right and best for him. That was a tough stoppage. Fight of the year 2 years ago, where guys were getting knocked down left and right. Who the hell was that? That was in the bubble.
In the bubble?
In the bubble.
Baranchik versus...
Baranchik. That's it. Bring it.
My boy,
Cepeda.
Cepeda.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That fight was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, You know, but I'd have to say the Valdez Burchelt stoppage was pretty epic. The way you know, Burchelt fights and the way he was coming forward and how Oscar just stepped out of the way and put him down and the fight. It was a pretty epic night for such a high profile fight, right? We've seen some pretty crazy stoppages on the undercards where guys are just teed up and knocked out. I think from a high profile fight, that stoppage was pretty impressive.
Victor Banuelo says, I think Errol Spence is going to kick Crawford's ass. Who you got in that fight?
I got Bud. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, I'm a little biased because I've had the opportunity to be around him a lot. I think that guy is he's on the pound-for-pound list at the top for a reason. He just finds a way. Mm-hmm. And he knows what he's in the ring to do. You know, he's just a beast. And I've got Bud.
Looks like the last one is from Justin White that says, any good behind-the-scenes stories you're willing to tell us with Ward or Bradley or any other fighter?
I think behind-the-scenes stuff is just being able to witness their magic when the cameras and the mics aren't on. They truly love the sport. They love each other. They love coming to work just like everybody else. And they're just great guys. I think, you know, the fans get a very specific perspective, a controlled view that the network puts out. You know, sometimes it's filtered, sometimes it's not. But you got to remember that these guys are just people like everybody else, and they really are passionate about what they do. And I love seeing them mess around, man, in the green room, just hanging out, shooting the shit, and. That to me, that's the best part of who they are, because that's really when they put the headphones on and the mics in front of them, it's more of the same. And what you guys are getting at home is pretty much who they are. And again, privileged and humbled to be a part of that and be able to be in that circle for a little while. You know, and Mark Kriegel, I haven't mentioned Mark Kriegel at all, and I feel bad. You know, I forgot all about it, but Mark is probably one of the smartest boxing minds out there right now. And the stories and the deep dive work that he does for ESPN and the sport is pretty remarkable.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think his work definitely speaks for itself, the work that he does.
Yeah.
That is all the questions. Yeah. So if you want to give out your social media, please go ahead and do so. For anyone that isn't following, you can follow.
Yeah, it's my name. It's Mark Knuck, MarkSHunock. I'm on all the platforms, but it's just my name, at Mark Chinook. And, you know, shout out to everybody in the boxing community specifically who have allowed me to join this pretty elite group. You know, and, you know, guys like yourselves calling me and having me on the show, it means more to me than you know. And, you know, like you said, getting out of bed is when you're doing it and you love it. It's not a big deal. Really, honestly, a true thank you to you guys. I love what you guys do.
Appreciate
you know, help the sport, man. If it wasn't for you guys, it wouldn't be what it is. And that's the truth. You know, like, yeah, we're on ESPN. Yeah, we got the Zone. Yeah, we got Showtime. But at the end of the day, the fans are what make the sport go, and really humbled by the acceptance of the boxing community and the fans specifically. Yeah, there's some haters out there, but there's a lot of great people who have dropped into my DMs and sent me great notes saying, hey, man, thanks for saying hi to me ringside. And, you know, thanks for taking time to meet my mom at, you know, the Resorts World event. You know, like, listen, if people come up to me and want to say hi, I'm going to have a conversation with you. I'm just just a dude who works in sports. And I think it's important for fans to remember that. We're just guys who work in sports, and we love it just as much as you do. So thank you to everybody in the boxing community for the love, and thank you guys for having me on.
You know about the little guys? Because I'm not the biggest fan, so I don't expect everyone to know.
I'm 5'6" and a half. I know the little guy.
So Bam Rodriguez, you think he knocks him out?
Yeah. I love Bam Rodriguez. And I was heartbroken when we lost him at Top Rank, to be honest. I loved being ringside at his fights. I think that guy has an incredible future, and he's got a great corner. He's got a great team behind him, and he is a beast, too. Like,
Would you be over or the under? You think he does it before 10.5 or after 10.5?
I'd take the under.
The under. That's what I have. Well, actually, I had the over because I feel like Kit Kat is so tough.
Bam's got power, though.
And he hasn't been knocked out since like early in his career.
Yeah, but he also ain't really fought nobody as
a Oh, and Chocolatito's nobody?
Oh, yeah. What, 4 years ago, 5 years ago? Like, what have you done for me? No, man, what have you done for me lately, though?
Hey, how old is he at this moment? Do you know?
Man,
I see it as a stoppage. Yeah. I see the hands flying back against the ropes and the referee stops it. It may not be he's out cold on the canvas. I think he overpowers him. He pushes him back, catches him with a few punches, and you know, I think I'd go with the under. Again, I'm not a bettor, so everybody listening, don't take my advice.
Yeah.
let me see. What's his age right here? He's 35.
Really?
35.
So it could be the time.
He's 35. Quick intermission.
Yes.
We're going to take this picture with Mark Chinook. You want to refresh?
Yeah, no, you go out there and I'll close it off.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Beautiful.
All right.
Thanks,
so I'm
going
to get to all these super chats before we cut up out of here, just in case we left anyone behind. Shout out to Average Boxing Fan. I see you. A Crown and Young Jeezy says, good morning. My favorite channel, TBV. Three fire emojis. Shout out to you. We appreciate you. Mike Wilkins, only seen Rinwalk's boy fight twice. Okay, we said that. Las Vegas Leon, what up, champ? Salute, bros. I was sure about to ask that question. Lots of unders. I believe Vegas got some good odds. Okay. And then we got Average Boxer Fan says, Mark, did you ever look into the UFC since it is known for MMA? GOAT. GSP, Raleigh, Faras, to name a few. Do you watch MMA at all? Hey, Mark, do you watch MMA?
I do.
Oh. Have you ever looked into being an announcer there?
No.
No. He says no, fellas.
Time.
No time. He's too busy with boxeo. Well, it looks like that is everyone. And we're going to go ahead and take this picture here with Mark and be right see here. Actually, Well, we'll go ahead and end it. My name is Nestor Gibbs, Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO. I'm going to make this last bet, though. So I've changed it, right? We got to superimpose this. This is Jessica McCaskill. Then you got Jonathan Gonzalez by Moneyline, Jessica McCaskill by Moneyline, Akhmadaliev under 9.5, Gibbs by decision, and then you got Bam under 10.5 because that's what Mark suggested. So that really boosts you. You see that? Like, if I was confident, which I'm not, 100 makes you over 1,000 with that parlay. But I'm not, because you got to get two dudes to get the knockout. Like, it looks like you need Bam to get it under 10.5. And then Madaliev under 9.5. So that's not easy to do. So what we'll do, though, we'll end on that. 10 makes us 100. I placed that bet, as you can see, confirming the bet. You know, if you want to, once again, copy that bet, it is Jessica McCaskill, Moneyline, Jonathan Gonzalez, Moneyline. You got to hurry up and lock that in because Gonzalez fights today. Then we got Gibbs by decision and Cat versus Jesse Bam Rodriguez under 10.5. So $10 makes me 108.74, which would at least get me halfway, more than halfway back off my herring loss. Catch us on the next one. You see my shit is down to 147 now, so we need to win. We need to win. But use the code BETTBV when betting responsibly. I'll leave it there. Thank you so much.
This is the boxing voice, and this is the voice of the people. I'll give it a little love, too. Here we go. Tell me when. I'll put...
If you actually have that camera. That
one?
Yep.
All right. Okay. Uh-oh. Here we go. This is boxing. This is the... Wait, hold on. The boxing voice. This one. This is boxing. This is the box voice, and this is the voice. All the people. Do one more. We'll do one more. Do one more. This is boxing. This is the boxing. This is boxing. This is the boxing voice. And this is the voice of the people. Oh, shit. Here we go. Here we go. This is boxing. This is the boxing voice. And this is the voice of the people. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go.
Keep me posted, bro.
Keep me posted.